Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time
world champion.
Stay tuned or you will feel.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore. I'm mad as hell about these freaking whores who have pimped and raped and prostituted the sport of professional wrestling right down into the ground, right down into the gutter, right down into the circus with all the clowns. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
It's still real to me, damn it.
As I locked eyes with a warrior that has his face painted, and the outer edges of his faceplate interlock with each other, then I know that that warrior is ready to make that sacrifice so that I shall live.
Wow, man, freaked out! Woo!
I have wined and dined with kings and queens, and I've slept in alleys and dined on pork and beans.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so!
Are you ready?
I said, are you ready?
Do I have everybody's attention now? In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wrestling News Live with the Bad Boys of Wrestling Radio.
And you two jabronis don't even have enough class to introduce yourself? What is your name?
Wrestling.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Is this on?
He's time!
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Still the icon! Still the showstopper! Still the main event!
All right, good evening and welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. As always, I am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ, all caps, Sexay. It's been an interesting week for me, to say the least. Man, do we have a show tonight. I'm not sure how this show is going to go. I got to be real honest right now. I'm not in the best of moods. Will I address why I'm not in the best of moods? It's a good fucking possibility. I promise you that. But we'll find out a little later on in the program. Again, a lot to talk about on tonight's program. We're going to run down the happenings from last night's Monday Night Raw, as it was the go-home edition going into this Sunday's Royal Rumble. The road to WrestleMania begins there. We'll be covering that live right here on the SNS Radio Network for Sunday Night Showdown. Myself, Mark the Shark DiCarlo, the Bronx Father, Harmony will be on board for this one, so going to be a good show on Sunday covering the Royal Rumble. We're going to run down the latest news of the week, including THQ on the auction block as of today. Properties are going fast. I don't have any information right now as to who's got what, but as of 3 p.m. Eastern today, some of their properties were on the auction block, so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be taking your phone calls and your emails later on in the broadcast. But I never do this gig alone, and joining me on the Skype line, he is the unofficial third leg of the tripod, the third wing in the tripad, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Bronx father, Tony J. Mirabella.
It is freezing. I don't know how you do it, man. It is like 18 fucking degrees Fahrenheit here, which for you Celsius people is like, what, minus 20?
Something like that, yeah.
It is. I got like a bonfire going in my fucking studio.
Damn.
I get good heat, but it's still, it's cold. Holy shit.
Do you get Vicky Guerrero heat?
No, but I could use it right now.
You could use the Vicky heat, the X-Pac heat, the whatever heat you get.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a guy who likes it cold, but not when, like, fucking hydrogen is in the liquid form. I mean, that's a little too much.
Believe me, if anybody knows about the cold weather, brother, it's me. I live in a place called Hoth, which, you know, most people call it Calgary. I call it Hoth.
Right.
I was beginning to wonder, you got that reference, right?
Yes, okay, Star Wars. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I was going to, like, you know, wipe the brow and make sure. But I did read something online over the weekend when I actually had spare time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you actually took 90 minutes out of your schedule to watch The Waterboy.
Yes, I did. Saturday night.
And what were your initial thoughts of The Waterboy?
It was good. There were certain scenes that I really liked. I think my favorite is when he invites the fucking coach to his house and Mama is serving snake. And he goes, well, what the hell's for dessert? And then you hear the electric trap go off outside and a squeal. And she goes, squirrel.
No, that's probably one of the best Sandler movies. I like Happy Gilmore. I like Waterboy. That was back when he was in his prime. And now everything just kind of sucks.
You know what the worst part of that movie was? And by worst, I mean good. Is when he tells the fucking black kicker, now, visualize something that you hate or something you're afraid of. That's what I do. And when he goes to kick the fucking ball, it turns into a KKK helmet.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the guy's got the KKK hood. That was great. That was good stuff.
Yeah, good flick. I mean, I don't know why I don't learn. You haven't steered me wrong yet. I mean, I laughed my ass off. It was good. You know, it was like I was telling Anthony on Facebook the other day. I think the reason a lot of people have told me that Sandler sucks is because you either get that kind of humor or you don't. There's only people who are wired one or two ways. See, I get that kind of humor. A lot of people think it's just stupid. You know, it's no one's right or wrong. It's just the way your humor is wired.
Well, I got to say, I don't think it's because, you know, you either get his humor or not. I just think that the last series of movies he's made since he's been older has just completely sucked. I mean, it doesn't have the same feel to it. The thing about an Adam Sandler movie is he plays the same character in every movie in a roundabout way.
Right.
You know, it's always the same thing. He's always with a chick that's fucking hot that he would never in a million years be with. Or he always ends up with the hot chick that he would never in a million years be with. You know, and it's just the same thing every movie. The characters are different, but it's the same fucking movie.
What was up with the assistant coach? Like, well, what are we going to do tonight? Okay.
Well, he's one of the, I mean, if you notice in Sandler's movies, he's got the same guys in there all the time. You know, right. And that guy was, that was Blake. I can't, a very famous comedian, Blake something. I can't think of his last name, but he's been in all the Sandler movies. He was in Mr. Deeds as the football player's dad. He beat the shit out of his son for, you know, for being disrespectful. And, I mean, shit, he's been in just about every Sandler movie. It was just a different, you know, take on the character there.
Yeah, he's got his own group of guys, it seems. But they work well together, so I don't mind it, you know. It was funny.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But I'm glad you finally got to see it. So, you know, now you understand when I go, Bobby Boucher, what your mama tell you about Raw? Raw the devil.
Yeah, everything was the fucking devil. Women were the devil. Foosball was the devil. Excuse me.
I liked when Colonel Sanders was talking to him, and he's like, you know, talking about the medulla oblongata, and he goes, mama say this. And he goes, well, yo, mama is wrong, boy.
Oh, that poor bastard got his ass kicked so many times in that movie.
Yeah, he did. No, that's man. It's a good flick, man. But you know what? We're delaying the inevitable. I know we've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to be real honest. I don't know what's going to happen in the second part of this broadcast after we're done with the Raw recap before we get into news. Because I might just drop a pipe bomb tonight, folks. I am in a very surly mood. I got to be real honest.
Well, I told Jordy to put the shields up after the commercial break, so I'm ready.
Is this EFP? Is this the Elite Force podcast? What the fuck? Why are we dropping Star Trek references on here?
I'm a Trekkie. I can drop a Star Trek reference.
Oh, I know. You fucking get turned on by little Picard's bald head. I'm not really sure which bald head turns you on to Picard, but I don't really want to go there right now. You sick fucking bastard. Anyway, I tell you what. Before we go any further, why don't we go ahead and do that thing that we usually call the Raw Recap.
It's time for your WNL Monday Night Raw Recap with Don Brox, the Brox Father.
All right, everybody. Raw starts off from San Jose with Vicky Guerrero, and she's out with Paul Heyman, the new dynamic duo. Vicky says it's her job to make sure you're entertained, and Heyman says he wants a show of solidarity with Vicky. And last week, someone defamed both CM Punk and Vicky Guerrero, and of course, they're talking about The Rock. They talk about the Rock concert, and Heyman says it's wrong, excuse me, for The Rock to pick on a poor widow like Vicky. And Vicky says she has made a mandate that if The Rock attempts to enter the arena, he will be arrested. So they show The Rock, and he's saying, why don't you arrest Punk for impersonating a champion? Arrest Heyman for not wearing a bra in public. But don't arrest Vicky. And this, I thought, was really lame. Ask her what her intestines look like, because she always has her head shoved up her ass. And Vicky says Rock will sing Jailhouse Rock if he tries to get in. So here's our theme for the night. The Rock is not allowed in the building. But, you know, that's how we start off with Vicky and Heyman seemingly joining forces. And it's announced that tonight we'll have a beat the clock challenge. And whoever gets this, whoever gets the best time, gets to pick what number they come into the Rumble as. So in our first beat the clock challenge, we have Antonio Cesaro versus Randy Orton. Pretty good match. Orton wins at 11 minutes, 36 seconds via the RKO. So right now, 11:36 is our standard to beat. Mick Foley's career is highlighted. I thought this was a very good video package by the WWE. He's shown in his various personas, and they pimp out that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. We have a Shield promo with them showing. It was kind of creepy. I liked it. It showed all the guys they've taken out, and it has them talking about justice and talking about all the people they've taken out. Nice little video package, a little promo for the Shield. The Big Show demands another Last Man Standing match at the Royal Rumble against Del Rio for the title, and he is granted that. Which leads us into the Big Show versus Zack Ryder. Do I really need to waste airtime telling you who goes over here? Ryder gets knocked the fuck out while Brad Maddox is trying to invade the announce table. Finally, he leaves, and at the end of the match, the Big Show puts his foot on Ryder's chest and starts to count to 10, but he gets pissed off because the crowd keeps chanting "What" at him. Now we have a backstage segment. Again, I don't know where the fuck this is going. Brad Maddox is backstage with his own camera crew, and Heyman's on the phone saying there's no way The Rock's going to get in. But then Heyman tells Maddox, you know what, kid? I was wrong about you. You got some guts. You got a lot of balls for what you're doing here tonight. Stick with me, kid. So it looks like he's officially a Heyman guy now. We have Ryback versus one member of the three-man band, Heath Slater. Of course, Ryback goes over. He basically takes out the entire 3MB. And in a short little promo, he says the Rumble is a match he was made for, and it will lead him to WrestleMania. Now we see The Rock outside, and he's talking to the police officers that are barring him from being in the building. He says, you're not here to serve Vicky. You're here to serve the people. Vicky comes out and says that if Rock apologizes, she'll lift the ban and let him in. Excuse me. Of course, the Rock starts insulting her, and she walks away dejected. Now, the Rock is talking to the cops, and one of the cops says, well, you know, I had tickets for tonight, and I didn't get to use them. And the Rock's like, really? Well, the Rock has an idea, and we all know where this was going. But we have CM Punk. He talks about his world title run, how many days he's had the world title, and you can hear what Punk has to say for yourselves.
What I have here, I hold more dear to my heart than most men hold their families. This is my life's work, and for 428 days, I have proven that I am the man. The Rock is here to entertain. The Rock is here to electrify. The Rock is here to sing songs and tell jokes. I am here to hurt people and be the champion. I will not allow The Rock to leave the Royal Rumble WWE champion, because this is why I am here. This is important. It's important because I have made it important. It's prestigious because I have made it prestigious. What's prestigious to The Rock is the most meaningless, insignificant thing imaginable. It's you, the people.
Well, ouch. So there you go, CM Punk on his crusade, saying that, you know, the people don't matter, and tells The Rock, enjoy the next 6 days with the fans because it just doesn't matter. I'm going over. We have a match where The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler, and Big E interferes during this match. He pulls Ziggler's foot under the ropes during the figure four, which was a bad-looking figure four by The Miz. But thanks to all these distractions, Dolph Ziggler gets the win, and he does beat the clock. And 10 minutes 56 seconds is your new time to beat. We have an anger management graduation where Kane and Daniel Bryan are graduating. They come out in caps and gowns. Shelby talks about how far they've gone, that Kane was a monster and Bryan was a little whiny man-child and would bitch if anyone called him a goat face or talked about his beard. And they argue, this was a little too stupid for me. They all argue about who should be valedictorian and get to speak. Kane wants Bryan to speak. Bryan wants Kane to speak. And then they get everyone in the crowd and the arena to hug each other. I was like, okay, I enjoyed the anger management from last week. This one, to me, was a little bit too schmarmy.
It was more than just schmarmy. I'm sitting there watching it with my kids, and I you know what? I was ready to turn the channel, you know, 5 minutes into it. It's like, okay, this is a bit much. It's a bit too far. It's pretty shitty. It's pretty stupid. So, yeah, I hear you there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. They just, it went a little too far. I mean, even Lawler and Cole hugged. I'm like, okay, enough. And it just dragged on and on. But we get a recap of Eve losing the title. And that leads us into our match of Alicia Fox versus Caitlin. Caitlin goes over, gets the win. Now, Heyman sets up CM Punk in a skybox. And Heyman says he has a Paul bomb for The Rock. So he comes out and says he's going to interpret all the things that CM Punk said earlier for us idiots to understand. Rock is just the flavor of the month. And The Rock is concentrating more on me, meaning Paul Heyman, than he is CM Punk. And, you know, that's not the way it should be. Now, The Rock comes to the ring with a ticket in his hand. And I love the fact that Paul Heyman brought this up, because when Cena was fired, you and Trey brought this up on WNL a while ago. And Heyman has a good point.
The San Jose Police Department, The Rock says, thank you for the ticket.
Whoa. That ticket does not entitle you to step in.
Shut your mouth, Twinkie Kiss.
You get your fat ass out of this ring or The Rock will slap the taste right out of your mouth. CM Punk, 428 days. 428 days you've been WWE champion. You've been king of the mountain. It's incredible. It's historic. The Rock knows how badass you are, how tough you are, how dangerous you are. You have earned the right to call yourself the best in the world. It does not change the fact that tonight, here on Raw, is your very last night on Raw as WWE Champion. You're obsessed. You're obsessed with how The Rock entertains them. You're obsessed with how proud I am to be the people's champ. You bet your ass I am, Jack. You bet your ass I am. But it doesn't change the fact that when it's all taken away, you got a man who will stand in front of you here in this ring. Outside of this ring, outside of this arena, outside in the street, I will stand before you and I will rip your face off. The Rock has waited. The Rock has waited 10 long years for this shot. I've worked my ass off for 10 long years for this shot. Blood, sweat, and respect. The first two I give, the last one I've earned over the past 10 years. CM Punk. CM Punk, just like Martin Luther King had a dream. The Rock has a dream to go to the mountaintop and go to the promised land one more time and become WWE champion.
Well, after The Rock finishes his I Have a Dream speech, he gets attacked by the Shield. The lights go out. The Shield appears in the ring. The Rock gets the triple power bomb. CM Punk cuts a promo on The Rock, and The Rock is shown bleeding from the mouth. But when we come back from commercial, Michael Cole says Brock was able to walk out under his own power. Now, my main problem with this promo is, yeah, Rock, you work your ass off for 10 years in Hollywood, not to get the WWE title. When I heard The Rock say that, I was like, really?
Well, I think what he's saying is he worked his ass off for 10 years to get to where he was so that he could come back and do something. I think that's the point he was trying to make, not that he was trying 10 years to get this spot where he could, face CM Punk. I think it's taken out of context, but I can see where you're a little confused on it.
Yeah, man. I think he was, when The Rock cuts a promo, he's so fucking intense that I think sometimes he just, like, breaks his own script, But, I mean, it wasn't a bad promo. I liked on Martin Luther King Day his kind of nod to MLK. That was pretty cool. But I mean, I don't know. It's like The Rock's promos don't quite electrify me the way they used to. Maybe because I'm older. I don't know. I'm not shitting on The Rock. I'm still a fan. It's just, it's not the same. I don't know.
Well, it's not. A lot of people are like, well, The Rock's not the same. Well, no, of course he's not. He's been in Hollywood for fucking 10 years. I mean, what do you expect? He's been making movies. He's trying to get back into that character, and I think for the most part, he's doing a fairly good job. To me, he's more the Hollywood Rock that left the company 8-9 years ago than he is, the Attitude Era Rock. And I think that having him face right now is what's really messing people up, because when he left, he was a heel, and I don't know. To me, the promos are fine. I don't really have a problem. I think that Punk does good promos, but I think Punk has been very stale in his promos. It's the same thing. Pipe bomb this, pipe bomb that. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. I've been the champion. I'm the best in the world. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you want to talk about something with repetitive promos, let's talk about Punk.
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. I will not deny a word you just said. he doesn't have, I don't know. He's, I apologize, guys. I'm just, I don't know. This weather's killing me.
Take a drink.
Yeah, I got one. But, it's, yeah. I, you know what I think it is? it seems like the WWE has a bad habit of either overdoing it or underdoing it. And when we had Rock Cena, it was overdone, 365 days, you know, of hearing the same shit. Now it seems like this feud has just come out of nowhere. Like, this match does not have the hype that Cena Rock had. You know, they've built it up in, what, a month, 2 months? These two haven't really promoted each other that much. So, I don't know.
Well, I will tell you this. Watching Raw last night and watching him buy the fucking ticket, and then his music plays. I didn't realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when you purchase a ticket to Monday Night Raw, that you are entitled to come through the rampway and that your music will play and that you can get in the ring and interact with people just when you buy a ticket. Because really, I mean, he's banned from the arena. He buys a ticket, yet he's able to just walk in like he owns the place. You know, to me, I mean, let's be serious here. You're insulting our intelligence yet again. I'm supposed to just look at it from a different point of view that, oh, well, he has a ticket, so of course he can just do whatever he wants. No, he's got a ticket. He can sit his fucking ass in the front row and watch the fucking show and not cross the barrier and not get on a microphone and not call fucking Paul Heyman Twinkie Tits.
Yeah, I mean, when WrestleMania comes, I'm waiting for you to hop the barricade and go and attack somebody.
Well, and if I get arrested, I'm going to say, hey, I bought a ticket. Where's my fucking Titantron? Where's my promo? Where's my music? Why can't I call Paul Heyman Twinkie Tits?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was the thing. And I like how Paul Heyman started to make that point, and The Rock was like, oh, just shut up. Get the hell out of here. And Heyman didn't want to get his ass kicked. So he was like, okay, I'm gone.
You know, and then let's go a step further. Vicky Guerrero's banishment of The Rock from the arena. Here's a guy that's only here for a limited amount of time, so let's make the most of it and ban him from the arena. You know, people, the knock on him last year was that he brought it via satellite. Well, he brings it to the ring, but guess what, folks? He can't come in because he's been banned from the arena. Hello? Pot Kettle Black? Hello?
Well, I mean, that wasn't the first fucking Vicky Guerrero thing that pissed me off. And this, what happened next, really did piss me off. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Because in our final Beat the Clock, man, we got Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. 10:56, once again, is the time to beat. 10 minutes, 56 seconds. And Ziggler and AJ provide a distraction so that the time expires and Ziggler ends up keeping his status as your Beat the Clock winner. So Ziggler gets to pick any number in the Rumble he wants. Now, here's where the smell of bullshit is going to perforate the show. Ziggler's shown backstage with Vicky Guerrero, and he's kissing AJ, calling her baby and everything, and talking to Vicky. And Vicky says, well, wait a minute, you can't pick any number. It can only be one or two. What? When did she say that?
She didn't. She did it to stick it to fucking Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, come on. You know, is the bitch a heel or is she a face? I mean, come on.
Well, obviously she's a heel. She's banned Rock from the arena. She's now taken Dolph Ziggler and said, oh, yeah, you know, your number is one or two. You can pick either one. I mean, obviously that's the way they're going. I've said it all along. I think Dolph's going to be a face here in the very near future. So I didn't have a problem with them doing that because, let's be honest here, Dolph Ziggler starting off in the number one, number two position, he's going to have a Shawn Michaels-esque Royal Rumble run, I think. I think he's going to make it all the way to the end. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I see Dolph Ziggler winning the Royal Rumble. And most of you are saying, what? How can you even think that? I will throw my booking scenario to you when we're done with the Raw recap. And it's a good one, folks. It's real fucking good.
You know, I'm going to be pleased to talk to you about that because I know everyone and their mother in the IWC is like, oh, Cena's got it. Cena's got it. He has to move on to face The Rock. And I was thinking the same thing. Not necessarily that Ziggler was going to win it, but I don't think it's a fucking lock like the IWC says it is that Cena's definitely winning the Rumble. I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll talk about that in a bit as we finish off the recap. Vince McMahon is shown with CM Punk and Paul Heyman. And Punk is trying to still say, look, I got nothing to do with the Shield. You know, why are you always giving me shit about the Shield? They've attacked everyone, not just me, Randy Orton, Sheamus. And Vince says, well, first he says, if the Shield interferes in CM Punk's match at the Royal Rumble, there are going to be consequences in which CM Punk will be stripped of the title if the Shield interferes. And then Vince proceeds to reiterate and tells Punk that CM Punk, if you interfere in this match, you will be stripped of the title. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, at the Royal Rumble, CM Punk has to try to beat The Rock without getting in the ring. Because if he interferes in his own match, he is stripped. Now, I'm fucking around. Obviously, it came out today. That was a botch. That promo was done live, and Vince did make a mistake. But I just got a chuckle out of it.
You know what? That was kind of funny. If CM Punk interferes in this match, he's stripped of the title. Yeah, okay, okay. But he's in the match.
I don't care. If he interferes, he's out. He's going to lose the belt. I don't care.
Yeah. And somebody told me, I don't know if, I can't remember who it was in Facebook, that on a tape delay, that was fixed. They actually re-edited that promo and fixed it.
It's possible, because I don't remember hearing him say that, but I mean, if you guys say he said it, he probably did. I don't know if I was either just not paying attention or if, you got to remember, I'm on a tape delay. So, I don't know. I don't remember him saying that, but maybe he did. So, I mean, no big deal. Really, at the end of the day, he made a typo. He's McMahon. It's live. It happens.
Yeah, but I'm an asshole, so I had to bring it up.
Yeah, you're an asshole, all right.
You know. But we have Alberto Del Rio versus Lord Fatass, probably the most useless guy in the company right now. Del Rio gets the win, and Del Rio says it won't be Show who's counting, but it will be him who's counting, and he encourages the crowd to count in Spanish. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. Yeah, I took some years of Spanish.
Well, now, hold on a second. I wouldn't say that Fatass is the most worthless guy on the roster. Now that Santino is injured, they need somebody to fucking put people over. And, you know, I mean, Tensai, he's pretty good at lying on his back. I think he gains, you know, 20 pounds every week from lying on his back. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, he's good for something. I mean, I can't believe how much of a prospect one of my former radio colleagues was prospecting this guy a couple years ago. Oh, Giant Bernard, he's like the best fucking talent in Japan. Oh, I could just imagine if TNA or WWE got him. Oh, how great he'd be. Yeah, well, he's pretty fucking good at fucking putting people over, at fucking looking at the ring lights and telling you what's going on in the rafters.
Yeah, him and Zack Ryder, man, tied for number one, I think.
Woo, I know it.
Well, I don't think he's at Zack Ryder's level of jobness yet. But he's getting there. He's getting there.
Mace says JTG is the resident jobber. When was the last time you saw JTG on TV?
Yeah, I mean, JTG is like just there. At least the motherfucker's not getting embarrassed every week. They just bring him out once in a blue moon to get embarrassed. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I can't remember the last time I saw JTG.
Yeah, and with your fucking memory, that's bad, because you can remember shit that happened in 1990 at the Rumble.
That shows you how much it fucking means to me these days.
Yeah, I hear you, man. But something I kind of marked out for, we find out that Bob Backlund will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Okay, I got no problem with that.
Oh, wait. Sir Owen Disney says he was one of the guys tossed over the top rope last night. See how forgettable his JTG is? I just thought it was some random black guy in the ring. I paid no attention to the fact that it was JTG. Because at the end of the day, why should I give a shit?
I thought maybe you were going to come out with they all look alike, and I was ready to jump on you, but you didn't.
I'm not a racist, you son of a bitch.
You know, it's funny you mentioned him, because I didn't even... I'm going to get to this when I give you the final segment, which is coming up right now. But someone in chat pointed out this guy was there. I was just busy writing shit and really not looking too closely. Cena is in the ring, and he's talking about Sundays. Now, this was so ridiculous that I wouldn't even torture our listeners with audio of this bullshit. he's making jokes to some of the kids. There's this chubby kid in the audience, and he's talking about, oh, you must spend your Sundays playing Black Ops. And my, I think he said Black Ops, and my username or whatever you call it is Skidmarks87. So some poor bastard who legitimately has that name, if they do, is going to get bombarded with requests. He's bantering to the crowd, and it was almost a little bit heelish. He's insulting this lady, talking about, you know, just all kinds of stupid shit that I can't even repeat because I just didn't care. And the promo was just stupid. He makes fun of another fat guy, too. He makes a Brett Favre Facebook reference. Finally, we get to Cena talking about the Rumble after 6 hours. Everyone is picking who will win. Cena says Sunday all eyes will be on the Rumble and he's going to win it. Now we end Raw how almost every Raw Royal Rumble go-home show ends. Sheamus comes out, says he'll win the Rumble. Primetime players come out, say they'll win the Rumble. Orton comes out. Miz comes out. Team Hell No comes out. Cesaro comes out. He will dedicate his win to the USA. 3MB comes out. And at the end, of course, we have a brawl, which I'm told featured Alex Riley.
Yes. Michael McGillicuddy as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is typical. I had no problem. Don't get me wrong. I had no problem with the ending. I think that's how you should end every Royal Rumble go-home show. You know, promoting what you're getting ready to see this Sunday, just in case you don't know.
Well, before we go any further, let's get back to the John Cena promo. As the guys and gals in chat are talking about this, that was, in my opinion, the single worst John Cena promo, and he's done some bad ones, folks. That was the single worst promo I've ever heard. He's not funny. I know he tried to come across. I don't think he was trying to be heelish. I think he was trying to be smartassy and funny. And it didn't come across smartass or funny. It came across as lame. If WWE wrote this for him, then the creative is really in the shitter. Because it was piss poor, fucking horrible. Even ESPN was shitting on it today.
Really? Wow.
Yes. It was fucking brutal. You know, I mean, ESPN made the remark that this guy used to be money on the microphone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
No wonder you're pissed off.
Well,
tonight.
It just made me, you know, fucking turn a shade of green there. It's like, what? You know, look, sometimes John Cena can hit a good promo. Sometimes he can't. But last night was atrocious. I mean, the only thing about that segment that was redeeming was everybody coming down to the ring and getting involved. And for the simple fact of the matter that John Cena proclaimed on Monday Night Raw that he would win the Royal Rumble, he will not win the Royal Rumble.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's the reason. Everyone says they're going to win the Royal Rumble. I mean, you could fucking interview Zack Ryder and he's going to tell you, I'm going to win the Rumble. I mean, that's what everyone says they're going to do.
Yes, yes, but not everybody gets the promo time like John Cena. He made a very emphatic statement last night and really pointed to the fact that, yeah, he's in it this year. Guess what? He's going to win it. I don't think he is. Now, you know, I go back and watch classic Royal Rumbles every year around the Royal Rumble time, okay? Last night I went back and watched the 2004 Royal Rumble, which had the last man standing match for the World Heavyweight title between Michaels and Triple H. That was also the year that Benoit won the Royal Rumble, if you remember, and then went on to WrestleMania 20.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
But I like to go back and even watch the older ones. You know, the thing that I miss about the Royal Rumble and the way that WWE used to do things is, do you remember, like, I'd say like the early 90s, mid-90s when they were doing the, you know, I'm the Nature Boy Ric Flair, and tonight I'm going to toss out 29 other guys and I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. Then you had Hacksaw Jim Duggan, hey, tough guy, tonight I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. And they went through these whole list of vignettes of superstars, and it started the show off. They had the music playing in the background, and that was your introduction to the Royal Rumble. Why, especially in the PG era, are we not doing that anymore?
I'll tell you why. Because the Royal Rumble is not the match that they're booking on to sell this pay-per-view, JJ. The match that they're booking on, and I don't like this because the Royal Rumble should be about the fucking Royal Rumble. It's all about punk rock. It's all about punk rock. It almost makes me feel like, The pay-per-view is called the Royal Rumble, but that's an afterthought. Buy it to see punk rock.
Wow, so the Kennedys are going to be there this weekend? That's awesome. The Dead Milkmen?
That's a music reference I just missed, but no. The Kennedys?
The Kennedy, yeah, there were a punk rock group back in the 80s, 90s. You said it's all about punk rock, so I assume you're talking about the music that's known as punk rock.
No, I'm abbreviating punk versus rock. You know what I'm talking about.
No, Bronx, I don't, but now I do. Now that you've enunciated properly and made me aware that it's punk versus rock and not punk rock, because that's what we're worried about is punk rock.
All right. I apologize to any listeners I can... You know, confused.
Oh, see, Brass Eyes correcting me. It's the Dead Kennedys. See, I was close. I feel like tonight's song of the night might be Roly Poly Fish Heads.
Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads. Fish dead, heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Well, I mean, Dead Kennedys, isn't that all of them?
Well, there's a couple that might still be alive there, Brox.
Yeah, that wasn't nice. But, I mean, you know, that seriously, that's what they're selling this pay-per-view on. And it almost makes me look, I know this sounds stupid and I know it's wrong. It almost makes me think that that fucking match is going to be after the Rumble.
No, it's not. The Rumble is always the last thing. They have to have it that way. And again, I think you're going to see some surprises with Rock and Punk. And I think that, you know, you have to end it with the Rumble. They have not done a main event that wasn't the Rumble in years. I mean, it's always the main event. That is the thing that leads you into the road to WrestleMania. You have your championship matches and whatever else to start things off, and you end it with the Royal Rumble, because the winner of the Rumble, it's a big fucking deal. So make no mistake about it, the Rumble match will main event the pay-per-view, but Rock and Punk will be the last thing you see before the Rumble match.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, I think that the fact that, you know, Vince, I think, is almost willing to always change his plans just to fuck the IWC. And one of the facts that everyone in the IWC, and I've looked at polls, I've looked at news sites, everyone's saying it's got to be Cena so he can get a title shot to set it up for him and Rock at Mania. But I'm thinking that we may end up getting swerved. I'm with you. Do I agree it's going to be Ziggler? I really don't know. I'm up in the air. But do I think it's definitely going to be Cena? No. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion that you can make.
Well, but before we jump into this, letter grades for Raw.
Oh, man.
You want me to start it off or you want to do it?
I'll give mine right quick, real quick. I'll give it a C. I mean, for a go-home show, it was like, eh. I mean, just the whole stupid promos and all that shit between the anger management segment and Cena's shit promo at the end. I'll give it a C. I just wasn't feeling it.
See, I'm going to go with C+, because there were some things I did like, and then there was a lot of things I didn't like. I thought that Ryback got a little of attention. You know, he needed to say, you know, yeah, this weekend I'm gonna win the Rumble. I like when they're very, you know, emphatic that they're going to do it, and obviously going through 3MB didn't really make him look bad at all. So I'm going to say C+.
Well, I mean, you mentioned another guy who's high on my list of possible surprises. You know, I definitely agree Ziggler is up there, but don't count out fucking Ryback. I could see them rejuvenating him real fucking quick by making him win the Rumble.
Well, I don't think it's in the cards for him this year, maybe next year, but not this year. So, with that said, let me go back to my booking scenario. I told you guys that I think Dolph Ziggler is going to shock the world. He's going to be, what, number one or number two. I think he's going to go all the way through the Royal Rumble, and he's going to win. Now, let me preface this. How is Dolph Ziggler going to win? Well, let's not forget he does have Big E and AJ at ringside. They will be out there while the Rumble's going on. But, you see, there was this Royal Rumble back in 1997, and that was the year Stone Cold Steve Austin won his first Royal Rumble. And even though he won that Royal Rumble, he didn't go to WrestleMania that year, and he didn't face the champion. And the reason that he didn't, ladies and gentlemen, was because during the Royal Rumble match, he was eliminated by Bret Hart. The referees were not paying attention to the fact that he was eliminated from said match. because of a outside scuffle between, I think it was Mankind and Terry Funk. So Stone Cold Steve Austin snuck back in the ring and eliminated the remaining four people, which was Undertaker, Vader, and, of course, Bret Hart. And I think it was Kane or somebody else. But because of that, the next night on Raw, they stripped him of his championship match. He was still recognized as the 97 Royal Rumble winner, and they had a match at the February pay-per-view where the winner would be the number one contender and would go on to face the champion at WrestleMania. So, what I see happening with Vicky Guerrero kind of playing Dolph Ziggler and saying, oh, you know, you get your choice of number one or number two, I see Dolph making it all the way through. He's eliminated at one point by Cena. There's a scuffle on the outside, maybe say with the Shield or somebody else. Nobody's paying attention. Dolph Ziggler gets back in the ring, and we're talking, it's got to be the last four or five people in the ring, and he eliminates and throws Cena out last. Well, of course, this is not going to sit well with John Cena, who's going to bitch, moan, and complain the next night on Raw, and because Vicky Guerrero is the thorn in Dolph Ziggler's side, she's going to strip him of his championship match at WrestleMania, and possibly at the Elimination Chamber put up for Raw, whoever wins the chamber will go to face the champion at WrestleMania. That's my booking scenario, and I think that's the way they should go.
You know what I would love to see be the culmination of that? The problem is, will they completely ignore that technically Ziggler can only cash in that briefcase for the world title? Or will they make some type of change that they announce? It would be so great, and I mean, I would laugh like the fucking Joker if we had Rock Cena at Mania, and it's a brutal match, and Cena ends up winning the WWE title, and he's beat up, or maybe the Rock gets a last rock bottom in, and fucking Ziggs comes out and cashes in and ends up having Cena hold the title for only like a few minutes. After all this buildup, that in my mind would be fucking justice. I would love to see that. Who knows?
No, you're right. But with the scenario that I just threw out, you have a fresh guy win the Royal Rumble. You don't have Sheamus win it again. You don't have John Cena win it again. You don't have Randy Orton. You don't have someone that's won it once before, and now you have a two-time Rumble winner, which I fucking hate when they do that. So it's a fresh face. He wins the Rumble, but he doesn't get to go to WrestleMania to face the champion. So he still gets the Rumble win, and it's still counted as a Rumble win, and it's a big fucking deal, but he gets fucked over by Vicky Guerrero and loses his shot at WrestleMania. I mean, I think it sells itself. I think it's a fucking fantastic scenario. And, again, John Cena is saying, I'm going to win the Rumble. Everybody's predicting that John Cena is going to win the Rumble. This is a great swerve because it allows Cena to end up winning, say, the Elimination Chamber match, which, you know, he usually does pretty well in that event. And he goes on to face Rock at WrestleMania. I think that's going to happen.
Now, I have a question. Doesn't the winner of the Elimination Chamber usually get something?
Usually they have the championship up. Sometimes it's the number one contendership. Sometimes it's for the championship. It's kind of the reset button. Okay. But there have been times they've had the number one contendership. What better place to say, okay, well, since Dolph Ziggler cheated and really didn't win the Rumble, we're going to put it up with the last six guys that were in the ring, sans Dolph Ziggler, or even have Ziggler in the match. And that's how you do it.
You know what promo was missing from Raw last night? And I hope they do it at the Rumble before the Rumble starts. I would love Ziggler to say, you know what, Vicky, you screwed me over. You know what? But this proves how dumb you really are. One, two, what's the difference? Either way, you're out there first. Because obviously one doesn't come out there and sit in the ring for two fucking minutes until two comes out. What I'd love Ziggler to say is, you know what? I'm the show off. I'm the fucking guy. I'm the man. And I am number one. So being these are my only two choices, and there's no damn advantage to picking number two, I'm going to be number one. I'm going to be the first guy to grace the ring this Sunday at the Rumble because I'm that goddamn good. That would have been such a good promo for him to cut.
I agree. But, I mean, again, you got to think about it. The deck is stacked against Ziggler. If he's number one or number two, For him to make it all the way to the end and then win the Royal Rumble is something nobody sees coming. Everybody assumes it's going to be Cena, and he's going to have a pretty high number on the card.
You ain't right. See, you shit on me before for making a Star Trek reference, and now you're talking about fucking Dax from Deep Space Nine? That's not right.
Would you fucking stop with the fucking Star Trek references, you goddamn Star Trek geek? Fucking wait till the show's off and you can beat off the fucking Picard's bald head all the fuck you want, all right? And I know for a fact that you were fucking turned on Raw last night because you thought it was a beat the cock challenge. You sick fuck.
That's weird because it just so, and this I swear to God is the truth, and really scares me when you call yourself Nostradamus. I swear on my life that this is the truth. I was listening, like I usually do, to some old radio shows today on the way home from work and happened to catch the WNL on my MP3 player where you made that reference in the last Beat the Clock challenge, and it was Beat the Cock. And now you made it again tonight. I know you got a crystal ball, motherfucker. Dolph Ziggler's winning the Rumble. I'm telling you, this guy is like fucking Nostradamus in wrestling.
Okay, Aki THQ, man, Babylon 5 sucks dick, okay? Worst fucking sci-fi show on TV. That show sucked ass. Anytime you have the fucking Jeff Conway, who was the drunk from fucking Taxi, as one of your fucking leads in the goddamn series, you're not doing so hot. Babylon 5 licks my balls.
I never even checked out Babylon 5. I mean, I heard of it. I know it was a huge deal, but I never really got into it. Probably a good idea after hearing what you just said.
Well, you know, I was listening to an episode of the Elite Force podcast the other day, and I got called out by one of their fucking listeners in an email. I think it was Admiral Q, talking about the argument that I had. I guess he heard it on the Best Of show when I made the comments on Wrestling News Live just to get under Mindwipe skin. Remember that? And yeah. It did the adverse effect. Mindwipe was like, so I don't care. And then Walkie got all bent out of shape. Remember that?
I don't remember what the comment was, but I remember the scenario.
Well, I said it just to be an ass, and I said Star Wars rules, Star Trek sucks. You know, and so there was this whole thing that I was propagating a war, and this guy was all upset, and obviously didn't realize the context that I was doing it just to get a fucking rise out of Mindwipe, and I ended up getting a rise out of fucking Walkie. You know, and so he wanted to fucking distill that, you know, oh, Star Trek's been on the air for fucking 20 years and all this and that, you know. And then I got to thinking, yeah, well, they might have been on the air for 20 years, but merchandising and everything else. I mean, didn't I read an article on this very program, I don't know, last year where we talked about how Star Wars was in the top 10 of biggest money sellers? You know, Disney had, like, most of them. This was before Disney even bought Star Wars. So, you know, if you want to throw out the movies and the TV shows and everything else that Star Trek's had for the last 20 years, let me throw out the fucking last 20 years of fucking collectible fucking toys and stuff that Star Wars has fucking had people buying. And then you can fucking talk to me about who is better and who makes more. Again, it's preference. If you like Star Trek, good for you. But Star Wars is more profitable. And if you don't fucking believe that, you're a fucking moron. Bottom line.
Well, I mean, you know, I've long given up because it's an argument you're never going to win or lose. It's just you've got your Trekkies, you've got your Star Wars guys. Now, mind you, do I like the Star Wars franchise? Absolutely. I thought that the movies were brilliant. I liked the mix of kind of mixing sci-fi with, like, just, you know, an ancient history, a history of all these guys who have been, you know, good and evil, and the sword play. I love it. But if you ask me, you're going to die tomorrow and you have two choices. You can watch Star Wars or Star Trek. Sorry, I'm a Trekkie. And I'm not going to get into an argument with you because I know it's one I'll never win and will never be won till the end of time. It's just two personal preferences, and the two sides will never meet in the middle.
I agree. And again, I only said it to get a rise out of Walkie, just to, you know, or out of Mindwipe, just to fucking, you know, fuck around. But, you know, then this guy got all technical and wanted to fucking, you know, I mean, you don't want to debate me, dude. Seriously, I will school you. You don't fucking want that, Q. But I thought about sending an email to Walkie or Mindwipe. Hell, they might even just clip this for all I know. I don't care. But anytime this dude wants to fucking step in my ring, it ain't going to be pretty. I bring the facts. I bring the numbers. And the numbers don't lie, bitches.
Uh-oh. Inner show war. See, I know Mindwipe like just doesn't give a fuck about anything.
Oh, this is not a shot at Mindwipe or Walkie.
I know.
I'm talking to Admiral Q or whatever the fuck his name is. You know, but I will say Mindwipe said something about, what was it, Stargate and Babylon 5 or better. They both suck, guys. I'm sorry. Not even a comparison. In the whole franchise of Stargate, where is it really? You know, it's okay to like the show, but it doesn't compare.
And if you're naming yourself after Q from Star Trek, I will say, and I will debate this, Q was such a bitch. I mean, here's a guy who's basically a god and decides to pick on people who are a tenth. And yeah, I know exactly what Trekkies will say and debate the shit out of this. I mean, yeah, I know the reason. He's planning humankind for something bigger. And in the end, he really was a face, not a heel. But he was still a punk-ass bitch. I'm sorry.
Who?
Q from Star Trek. You don't know who Q is?
I know who Q is. John DeLancey. I fucking know, okay? I know. Unlike you, I fucking know shit, okay? Good actor. Okay. Very good actor, John DeLancey.
Yeah. Sweet. I mean, you know, but this is a guy who can snap his fingers and change everything, and he's picking on motherfuckers who are, like, not... I don't know. I fucking hated him in the series.
Wait. Shining Wizard in the chat has quote of the night. I'm going to quote this. Stargate is slightly better than Relic Hunter. Oh, that is such a good line. That is so true. And there's nothing wrong with Relic Hunter. If you like, you know, a very fucking bottom-feeding, amoeba-esque Lara Croft adventure that stars Tia Carrere, that's so far removed from the Tomb Raider or Indiana Jones franchise that's not even funny. So in that context, yes, Stargate fits, and so does Babylon 5.
Oh, Tomb Raider was my shit. I love Tomb Raider. But, I mean, I could see that tonight you flipped the switch to asshole, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, the assholeness hasn't even begun yet, but it's coming.
Get that trending. Assholeness. That's awesome. Hashtag assholeness.
So, anyway, moving away from the Elite Force podcast, moving away from all this other bullshit, let's get back on track. And what were we talking about? We're talking about the Rumble.
Yeah.
I said I see Dolph Ziggler winning. I gave you the scenario. You know, there's a lot of rumors they may swerve us with Punk and Rock. They have promised The Rock a run with that belt. There's a possibility they could swerve us and let Punk keep it. And then at the Elimination Chamber, they might have a rematch where Rock will get it, or maybe they'll have it on the Raw after. Who knows? But I think... either way, going into WrestleMania, it's going to be Rock and Cena. Whether we like it or not, that's just the way it's building.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it, except for the fact that the last match they had wasn't the most technically... I mean, yeah, maybe it could have been a little bit The Rock, that it had been a while, you know. But I have a feeling, and I'll make this prediction, that Punk versus Rock is going to be a far better match than Rock versus Cena was last year.
Well, I think Rock Cena 2 will be much better than the Rock Cena from last year. I don't know what it was about that match, but Rock just had so much ring rust, and I think Cena carried him. And I think if you watch that match early on, Rock gets hurt, and Cena had to carry him, and it was just rough.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? True.
And I think that's a lot to do with it because, you know, you look at Rock's track record for big matches, and he doesn't necessarily disappoint. But last year, something happened where he just wasn't ready or... you know, he bumped his head and got a concussion and was out of it because that match was shit. So I'm willing to, you know, check it out a second time. Fuck, I'll be there live. You know, I'll be in the fucking cheap seats watching it on the fucking screen probably. But I'll be there, and that's the point. I'll be there.
Well, I mean, you know, why couldn't you have Rock in the last couple weeks he's been there? Put the Rock in the ring, throw someone at him. You know, throw some shit heel at him. And just have The Rock decimate the motherfucker in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but why do that? Why have him? I mean, because why would you kill somebody unless you want to just you send Zack Ryder out there? You know, you'd have to send him a heel because right now he's a face. I mean, seriously, why would you risk putting him in a match up until the Rumble or doing anything because you don't want him injured?
Well, I mean, he's not going to get injured. Look, you throw fucking Tensei in there. You tell Tensei, yeah, Vince threatened Tensei, listen, you stupid fat fuck, don't do anything. Just get in the ring, take a rock bottom, and lay on your back. Okay.
Although I would really love to see, a promo between Albert and, Tensei and Rock, and, Rock go, who in the blue hell are you? You look like Fat Albert. or just fucking just throw on him, and just fucking go at it. Because again, he was there in the Attitude Era. He was there when Rock was wrestling. Just look at Tensei now. He's a shell of his former self. I mean, fuck, watching the 2004 Rumble, he was in the fucking Rumble. And he was about three times smaller than he is now. And he was fat then. And that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Tensei looks like, he's what the Titanic really hit. I mean, shit. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm no fucking, in shape freaking Adonis. But come on, dude. I'm also not getting paid to wrestle in the ring.
I'm not either. I'm not, but I'm not on camera. And I'm not fucking, a wrestler. And I'm not fucking living that lifestyle. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yep, the giant Bernard, baby. The biggest thing in wrestling history.
Ashley, who knew that sushi could be so fattening?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's eating sushi.
I mean, his gimmick now looks more like he's from fucking Mongolia and he's having lots of fucking, Korean barbecue or some shit. I don't know. Like, he's gone to the Great Wall and fucking keeps ordering the Chinese food. I don't fucking know. But he ain't fat from the sushi.
Great Wall, one of the greatest fucking Chinese places ever.
You goddamn Mongolian, stop taking my food.
And, he doesn't have the Samoan gift, because I've said this about guys like Samoa Joe and Rikishi and Yokozuna.
When has Tensei ever been Samoan?
No, that's what I'm saying. I know he's not Samoan. He doesn't have the Samoan gene. And what I'm saying is the Samoans are guys who can put on that type of weight and yet still be athletic in the ring. To this day, it fucking amazes me. When I go back and watch matches that Yoko had and some of the matches Joe had, and these are guys who, you see them in the street, they pick a fight with you and you laugh, and 2 minutes later, you're a bloody pulp in the ER. Tensei doesn't have that. He's just a fat fucking slob. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you look at Samoa Joe, he's not in as bad a shape as Tensei is, but let's face it, Joe's my boy, but he looks like a fucking tractor trailer until the bell rings and he makes someone his bitch. Tensei can't do that.
Oh, I agree. I don't know. Like I said, Tensei, I don't know what he was like in Japan. I've seen a couple tapes here or there, but I've never been impressed with a guy. I mean, no offense to Matt Bloom. I'm sure he's a good guy, but I just don't get the hype behind him. I don't get what was so awesome about Giant Bernard, but, it is what it is.
Well, maybe he was so over in Japan because out there, maybe when he got in the ring with a guy, the poor soul was dying of starvation because all the catering was gone and, Bernard was able to beat him easy.
It's possible, but let's stop shitting on Tensei. He gets enough of that from everybody else. We shouldn't contribute. We're sorry, Tensei. Well, not
and
really,
still,
but we're
still,
sorry.
Still, motherfucker, I wouldn't want to face one-on-one. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, he could kick my ass, no doubt. I mean, I'm not a fucking professional wrestler, so it is what it is. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel bad for the guy. I really do.
Yeah, I think he almost regrets leaving Japan, and he's in that mode now, I'm getting paid, and I don't care.
Hey, I hope he's making a good check because, I think his days are numbered. And maybe he'll go back to Japan and be a big fucking deal. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike the guy. We're giving him shit like we'd give anyone else shit. I mean, I don't hate him. It's just, it's like Brodus Clay. Like, wah, wah, wah.
I called that was going to be a flub a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. You'll take credit for that shit till the end of time.
Oh, speaking of the 2004 Royal Rumble, watch it, and all of a sudden I hear this familiar theme. You got this black guy running out with a huge afro, and the theme is playing, and then here comes Somebody Call My Mama. Here comes the cat, and he dances in the ring until he gets eliminated. Talk about recycling your themes, I tell you what.
I think we're going to get some surprises this year. I mean, we usually always do with the Rumble, but I'm wondering. Now, I've heard rumors the Outlaws, maybe?
It's possible. I think they might have a couple surprises. I mean, it'd be great to see Billy and Rhodey in the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are saying Shelton Benjamin could be there. You know, people have said John Morrison. I've heard just about everybody. I mean, you know, I'd be surprised if Michael McGillicuddy made the cut, to be honest with you, at this point. You know, I know there's like 23 that are confirmed. I don't have that list in front of me. But you know what? I look forward to the Rumble every year. It's one of my favorite pay-per-views outside of WrestleMania. And I just love the whole Battle Royal gimmick, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, if they really want to drive us nuts, and I've heard this passed around too, whether he wins it or not, I think it could be a strong possibility, but I have a feeling, I'm going to call it, I think we're going to see Brock this Sunday. I just have a feeling. More than I've had in any other pay-per-view for the last 6 months, where we said, on four down, is Brock going to show up? Is Brock going to show up? And everyone was like, eh, nah. But I got a feeling, look for Brock to be a surprise entrant.
You know, if they do book anything, I mean, look, obviously with Brock, they're talking about him and Triple H for another rematch. If Brock was going to do anything outside of Wrestle the Undertaker, I would be cool if he fucking cost CM Punk the championship and got in Paul Heyman's face and said, you need to fucking choose me or him. But I don't know that's the route they're going. I don't know. I'm just looking forward to the Rumble and, you know, speculating on what could happen. It's pretty wide open this year. A lot of possibilities.
Yeah, four down is probably going to be a torturous nightmare this week. I'll probably be on it for a good 4 hours because you just don't know. You got to make your picks very, very carefully.
This is true. But, like I said, as far as the Rumble goes, I'm looking forward to it. I think we've kind of given our predictions, and I think we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Come back, we got news to talk about. I got to make a phone call and see if there's any news on a certain situation. And that could be a segment in itself, I promise you.
All right, man. So, I'll be standing by.
Standing by. So that being said, you're listening to Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this.
Booker T, your SmackDown General Manager. You're listening to Wrestling News Live on SNS Radio, and I know you can dig that, sucker.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
Fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Can't get enough of WWE 13? Need more attitude? Get some now with WWE 13 Fan Access, featuring the latest WWE superstars, including Tensai, Ryback, Raw General Manager AJ Lee, Antonio Cesaro, The Usos, Natalya, and Damian Sandow. Add even more attitude to WWE 13, including Val Venus, Gangrel, Chainsaw Charlie, and the loose cannon, Brian Pillman. Expand your game with the all-new Moves Pack. The Championship Titles Pack. And exclusive only to Fan Access members, Diamond Dallas Page and Gold Dust. WWE 13 Fan Access, your exclusive path to bonus content to WWE 13.
Live the revolution.
Pre-order WWE 13 today and play as the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson.
It's anticipation of the amazing.
Edge is going to WrestleMania!
Unvarying in unpredictability and the epitome of excitement.
Welcome to the Royal Rumble!
For over a quarter century, it has shown us how to defy the odds. 30 superstars, one winner. A main event championship opportunity at WrestleMania 29 awaits. At the 26th annual Royal Rumble match, the numbers tell the story. 36, the total number of WWE Hall of Famers who have competed in the Royal Rumble match. These legends combined to headline 25 main events at WrestleMania. 724. Since 1988, over 700 entrants have tried to win the Rumble match, only to be eliminated. 39. Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels holds the all-time record for eliminating the most competitors.
How does he do that?
Not far behind is Kane, who has tossed a total of 35 participants in 13 consecutive Rumbles, with a record 11 eliminations in 2001.
Kane, it's going crazy here!
201,497 pounds, the astronomical mass of humanity that has competed in the Royal Rumble match.
You wonder where the beef is? There's the beef, pal!
That's over 100 tons, or 457 big shows. 440,004.
Thank the Lord, they're here in numbers!
That's how many members of the WWE Universe have been in attendance at the Royal Rumble to witness a number of memorable moments. 62 minutes, 12 seconds. Rey Mysterio survived brutal competition for over an hour to set the record for the longest appearance in a Rumble match.
He did it! No, he did it! Rey Mysterio did it!
3. Stone Cold victories in the Royal Rumble match, more than any other superstar in history. 2 seconds. For 20 long years, the Warlord held the record for the shortest time in the Rumble match. That was until 2009.
Oh, what? I think the Warlord's record may have been broken.
I wasn't ready!
Number 1. The first entrant is at a definite disadvantage, where time is not on their side. Yet a number that has produced the same amount of winners as the coveted number 30 spot. 27. Perhaps the luckiest number in the Rumble match, producing a record 4 winners. And since 1993, 58% of Royal Rumble winners have gone on to win the championship at WrestleMania.
Every WWE superstar is eligible to enter the Royal Rumble, making this one of the most unpredictable nights in WWE history. There's only one road to WrestleMania, and it begins at the Royal Rumble.
The Brahma Bull. He's bold. He's bad. He's brazen.
Yes, a man!
He's The Rock.
But The Rock is cooking!
And he's coming to WWE Royal Rumble.
Finally!
Live only on pay-per-view. This Rumble is going to rock.
Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011. And you are listening to Wrestling News Live on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
Their knees get weak whenever I'm around. They see me walk, they hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I'm just a sexy boy.
All right, we're back here, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ All Caps, Sexy. And I'm being joined, of course, by my colleague, my good friend, the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella.
Yeah, just talking some rumble with the guys in chat, man. And everyone's got their theories, and it's cool. It's cool that every year it's a pay-per-view that we can all talk about and throw out our theories and see, you know, who's right. So
no, it is. You know, the Rumble's always, you know, really the start of the year. It's, you know, leading us into the WrestleMania season, which is really the most exciting time, in my opinion, all year that the WWE produces. That 3-month span, that 3 to 4 month span between Rumble and WrestleMania, you know, is very exciting. And it's very crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if wrestling had a peak to their season, like, you know, we've got the Super Bowl coming up, we've got, you know, there's the NBA playoffs, there's the World Series, this starts that season. It's like the WWE playoffs. You know, we're winding down the season. And, of course, usually after WrestleMania, the reset button is hit and all new stuff is done. So it's a good time of year. Usually I always enjoy, like, January to May. In the wrestling season.
No, I hear you. Hang on 1 second, Bronx. Talk amongst yourself. My studio's been invaded for a second. Mark the Shark DiCarlo just stepped in for a second. I just need to... Oh, you're coming on the air? All right. Well, Mark the Shark DiCarlo is going to come on the air in a second. So that's always a good thing, folks.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
I mean, I don't want to be talking to myself. Bronx, what do you think about the Rumble? Well, I think, you know, there's a possibility of a few different winners, you know, maybe Brock Lesnar, maybe John Cena. I mean, you know, and Bronx, what do you think about, you know, Raw last night? Well, I give it a C-. So, okay. Am I done talking to myself? Guess not. Well, this is Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. I am the Bronx Father. Make sure you get your picks on at 4down.org. And also, make sure that you check out Sunday Night Showdown this coming Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Yes, the Royal Rumble. I'm looking forward to helping out with calling that and seeing, you know, what we're going to see. I think we're going to get a big surprise. I don't see them, like I said earlier, going with the whole fucking John Cena is definitely going to win the Rumble. There's no way around it, you know. I think Vince would rather swerve us than stick to his storylines. That's just how I feel. I just, you know, looking forward to it. You know, WrestleMania. We got, you know, Rock. Definitely, most likely, Rock versus fucking John Cena. And a lot of people are saying this time, John Cena has to go over. I agree. Because A, it lets Cena get his revenge. And B, sets up the rubber match. The best two out of three. That's always how it's been. You let Cena go over, bang. You have another instant match, The Rock versus John Cena 3. This one finishes it all. But JJ, you back with me?
I am back, and I actually have Mark the Shark DiCarlo in studio here with us on Wrestling News Live.
Yo, yo, members of the SNS family here on Wrestling News Live. I had some very important Heart Legacy Wrestling business to take care of tonight. Some exciting stuff went down in a big meeting here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. There was widespread speculation around the internet that, in fact, the Shark said the wrong thing to the wrong people and got, like Trent Beretta and Brian Cage, future endeavored, when in fact, I say in fact, that was not the case, and all is well, and JJ, all is well. I scooped you a little bit, and I'm sorry for taking you off the show. But Bronxy, how you doing?
All right, man. I could tell you've been working because I hear it, man. You sound tired, bro.
Well, you know what? Leading up to Showtime last Friday night, I think I got 6 hours sleep in three nights. But I got to say, and at some point when the DVD comes out, you'll hear the dulcet tones of the broadcast tag team of JJ and the Shark. And I got to say, all night long in the legendary pavilion, we were on fire, baby. It was fun.
Most of the time, I'd say we were on fire.
Well, you know, except unless we were burning our broadcast partner.
Yeah.
And then he was on fire.
We weren't very fond of him. Let's
well, you
that
know,
way.
Speaking of being future endeavored.
Oh, he's gone too?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
Well, you and I will have to have a separate meeting with respect to that.
Oh, okay.
But it's all good. And I think the first order of business for the next show, which is in fact, can I let the cat out of the bag?
Well, you're here. Go for it.
All right. Which is Friday, February 22nd, back at the Legendary Pavilion featuring, and yes, he couldn't make it last time because his wife was sick, Kevin Nash, Jomo, who we had on Wrestling News Live, what now, 2 weeks ago tonight,
yep,
is confirmed. And the world-renowned from New Japan Pro Wrestling, Jushin Thunder Liger, his real name is Kishi Yamada. He was originally trained by Stu Hart here in Calgary, will be on the show, as well as the vaunted New Japan Pro Wrestling tag team of Gato and Jado. Now, for those that don't know, Gato is actually the booker with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he took over that role when the just fantastic talent of I'll get to it in a second. He took over as the book in New Japan. Also coming is the one of the other bookers with New Japan, Tiger Hattori, who's also the referee, and the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Shinjiro Bayashi, will all be here for Heart Legacy Wrestling. The Cobra will be here. TJ Perkins, most people, you know, I know we want a kayfabe, but that's who they know it is. And, you know, it's going to be one hell of a show. And for those that didn't see last Friday, you will see it soon via DVD. We're working on procuring a upcoming, and I know we kind of talked about JJ and I on the SNS Facebook group and a number of other groups and shows on this network about when the pay-per-view, the delayed pay-per-view from the Friday show was going to happen. There were some extenuating circumstances which precluded us from airing it on the dates that it was originally supposed to be a live event, then a taped event the following night. At some point soon, it will air in a edited down version, which is good because I don't think your attention span for 4.5 hours would have been any good.
Yes, absolutely not.
But having said all of that, the future is bright, and the future is so bright, some would have to wear shades, to coin an old song. So I'm happy to announce on the official home of Heart Legacy Wrestling, the SNS Radio Network here on Wrestling News Live, that now all is good, and moving forward, It's going to be unbelievable. The venue that we're moving into in March is Max Bell Arena. Great arena. Seats 3,000 people, freshly renovated. And for all the fans, JJ, we're going to immediately save them $15 off the top because no parking like at the Stampede Grounds, no charge for parking. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll enable us to solidify a legacy that is Heart Legacy Wrestling moving forward. And I had a request from his Tedness that maybe you could guest referee, because I think what we're going to do on February 22nd is have a Team Teddy versus Team New Japan Pro Wrestling main event.
And you want me to referee instead of announce?
No, I think you should referee and announce simultaneously on a headset in the ring.
Okay, sure, why not?
Well, I mean, why? I mean, if I was ring announcing and on the broadcast, why can't you do two things on the show as well?
Sure, yeah. I'll ref the match with a headset on.
Okay,
sure,
just a minute. We have to have a discussion. Okay, payoff is double. Are you in?
Do I get it up front?
Can I get it in advance?
Yes.
Yes, truer words were never spoken. Can I get that in writing?
Yes.
And can I get it in advance? Yes and yes.
Okay. Well, then yeah. I'm in.
All right. And by the way, Bronx, JJ looked like a million bucks. He had the James Storm do going on, the nice jacket. It was a combination of kind of a Tennessee Cowboy Taz kind of look that JJ had going on Friday night. Very dapper. Very dapper.
Wow, Tennessee Cowboy meets Taz. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
No problem.
I don't know if that's a compliment or a
fucking... No, it was a compliment.
I don't know about that one.
It was a compliment. And I think, you know, we should also bring in Bronx to be a special guest referee next time with head referee Wayne Hart.
Well, see, he might fit in good because Bronx would be the perfect referee. He wouldn't see anything that happens.
But he would understand the new card system, you know, and here we got the yellow card. Two yellow cards
right.
Equals a red card and you're DQ'd. And then if you do some chicanery after the DQ, you get the venerable black card for a suspension.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, again, he'd be the perfect referee for the heels.
Absolutely.
Because he wouldn't see him cheat.
That's it. Perfect.
So we have a Chinaman, an Indian, and a black dude deciding who gets eliminated?
No.
Jesus, where did what the?
Racist prick.
That's funny.
No, he was explaining the card system, because I know on the Facebook page that was sort of kind of talked about, and I think I even said that yellow card was like a warning. And then
a warning, and the second yellow card
turns into a red card.
Turns into a red card, which is a DQ.
Yep.
And then after, if there's any... thing going on after the DQ, the black card is pulled for a suspension.
You know, I do want to apologize to you guys that we're looking forward to seeing the iPay-per-view. You know, again, some problems happened and it was a very ambitious endeavor that we were undergoing to have this, and I knew that doing a live pay-per-view wasn't going to be a good idea. Unfortunately, there's nothing wrong with the footage. A DVD will
be
made.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be out soon, and I've already seen clips on YouTube already. So, you know, look for that real soon. And, again, I want to apologize to you guys.
Yeah, because we put it out there.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit premature, and some would say, certainly my ex-wife, that premature has been. Anyways, we're not going to go there.
My God.
But when the DVD is available, we'll let you know here on the network. And moving forward, there will be an iPay-per-view, the next show, and it'll be a lot tighter, and we're going to have better lights and better sound with microphones that actually work and Clearcom headsets that you can hear on both sides, because that pissed me off.
But it won't be an iPay-per-view live. It'll be, like, delayed, obviously. Right?
Yet to be determined.
I think it would be better if it was delayed. That way there's
edits
that can be made.
I like the idea of an edited pay-per-view and get rid of all the bullshit and nonsensical stuff that doesn't need to be part of it. So I'm done with the, you know, maybe the next night scenario, I think, you know.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because doing it live, you know, I mean, you have to start the show on time. You can't really have a downtime intermission. What are the people that are subscribing going to do when that's going on? I think it's a better idea to have the iPay-per-view in delayed fashion, either the next night or the night after, so that it's polished and it's good for the internet crowd to watch.
I'm just checking my office payoff sheet and making sure. Yeah, your name is still on it. That's good.
That's really good, actually.
Are you done with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. Okay.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, we're talking about, you know, premature shit. All I could say is, Shark, at the next event, if you're commentating on a women's match, please wear a white tux.
Well, tell them about it, Bronx. I got to say that for the mixed triple threat tag match, that they did this spot, Bronx, and it was right over top on the turnbuckles up above JJ and I, and it was kind of like the Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, AJ Styles kind of TNA Tower of Doom, Triple Doom, and as I looked up, it was a cornucopia of Kaziff with the three girls, and I honestly, Bronx, I thought of you, and I thought, you know, if anything was going to restore Bronx's sight, that would be it. Unfortunately, you'll have to wait for the DVD to come out to see what I mean. And when you see it, Bronx, and you'll have to move awfully close to the TV, I don't know. Miss Miraculously, I think it's full sight, baby.
Well, I mean, you know, I saw you hanging out with Chris Masters and all buddy-buddy with the Masterpiece.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. You saw the video clip I posted of Davey Boy Smith Jr., the Masterpiece, and the Shark on Breakfast Television here on... City TV. That was at the ungodly hour of 7:12 in the friggin' morning, the day of the show, and we were up at 5. I think I got to sleep at 3 after typing up the card. It was fun, and you didn't see everybody off camera trying to make us laugh, and the fact that from where I was sitting, the host of the segment, City TV's Jill Bellin, I got caught a couple of times on camera looking down her top, which she didn't see, thankfully.
Well, there's my voice.
You know, I would say this.
Yes.
Up in heaven.
Yes.
Davey Boy is smiling down, and I'll tell you, man, if Davey was still with us, he couldn't deny that boy if he tried. I mean, I saw... You know, I'm not that experienced in the indies, but when I saw Davey Jr., I was like, oh, my God. I mean, does he not look like his dad? Unreal.
He does.
And you know what? And he doesn't do it very often. But he does an imitation of his father with the full British accent that if you close your eyes, Davey's in the room. It's freaky. It's almost, you know.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? If you knew Harry Smith, salt of the earth, great guy. I've known him since he was 2, and to watch him grow up and reach the level of, and he's happy, he's at peace. I mean, one day, you know, he'll go back to WWE, but right now, with doing the indie circuit in North America and going to New Japan, pro wrestling 6-8 times a year, he's having the time of his life. You go over and wrestle in Japan, you're wrestling 5-6 nights in a row. Eating sushi, arigato, gishigal, New Japan, take care of Harrison. I mean, it's a nice life over there. And with the influx, and if I could be serious for a moment, wait a minute.
Lance Storm here now, too?
Lance! Lance was funny on the broadcast, which, if you think about it for a second.
Whoa. He was, no. It wasn't funny on the broadcast.
He was on the broadcast.
He joins me for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, because we have a certain thing that happens 4 minutes into the broadcast.
Correct.
Obviously. The spoilers are out, so it's not like you don't know anything here.
Yeah.
But that was a tough 4 minutes for me because I'm talking to Lance Storm, and it was like, so Lance, how you doing? I'm good. Okay, awesome. Yeah. Thanks for the talk.
Yeah, Mr. Not Money on the Mic.
No. I love Lance to death.
Mr. Monotone on the mic.
But you know what? Lance Storm delivered a fantastic.
Oh.
You know, it started off as a tag team match between.
Tell him about it, JJ.
Between the, obviously the IWGP Tag Team Champions, Davey Jr. and, of course, Lance Archer taking on Chris Masters and Bobby Lashley. And Johnny Devine came in, interfered. There was a disqualification. Davey and Lance won. Lance Storm gets in the ring, has a microphone, says you screwed the fans.
We got in the ring with a chair.
Yep.
Right.
Starts waylaying people.
Ran off the heels.
Yep. Yeah. Says you guys screwed the fans. Why don't we make this a six-man? And Lance Storm still got it. The guy was amazing.
He really was. He got beat down for a good 7 or 8 minutes, made the hot comeback, the hot tag. The fans went bananas. Or as Mick Foley used to say, impersonating Pat Patterson, the fans went banana. And Lance has still got it. I know what it is. It's the day after the next Heart Legacy Wrestling show at the old Armory, where, of course, it's a famous arena in Philly where many, many promotions ran. He's got Jerry Lynn in Jerry Lynn's retirement match coming up next month.
Yeah, he does.
So that'll be fun. And I talked to Lance today. He's going to be part of Heart Legacy Wrestling for the foreseeable future. There's been a lot of hoops that the Shark and, for that matter, JJ have jumped through in the last couple of weeks. And every time we jump through the hoop, we landed on our feet. And there's been a lot to go through. Yet with any new and fledgling promotion, there's things to go through. And you know what? For all that we went through, the bottom line is it was a fun show. And there was over 18 frickin' 100 loud, boisterous, "This is awesome, holy shit," fans chanting all frickin' night long. And everybody from Leo Burke to the Great Gamma to Ross Hart to Julie Hart, who've been involved in independent wrestling, and a lot of the guys in the show, El Generico, Trent Beretta, Samurai Del Sol, the Mexican guys, Jack Evans and Conan, were like, you know what? There are not that many independent shows in Canada or the United States that have drawn that many people. Like, everybody in the States, an independent show, well, you know, we drew 900. It was a big success. We drew 750. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Evolve, Dragon's Gate USA, Ring of Honor. They're happy to have 750 people. That's a successful gate, easy for me to say. 1,900 people. Somebody did something right, and the fans had a great time. And you know, for all of its faults, from beginning to end, you got to sit back, and I say this every pay-per-view that we watch, whether it's TNA with Bronx or all of us when we get together for WWE pay-per-views here on the network, we always say, before we give our letter grade, at least I do, was I entertained? And JJ, that was a hell of a show.
It was hard to call, too. I mean, you know, again, it was multi-man matches, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but you know what? They pulled it together. I mean, they really did. The main event was stellar. It was like you had 10 guys involved, and then really, if you want to go further, we had 13. Well, because Conan was there, Jim Neidhart.
Remember the spot where in each of the four corners of the arena,
yes,
there were fights going on,
yes,
and then they mysteriously, wink, wink, came all together in front of the entrance gimmick, and Ted Hart scaled the top of the trussing system and did a back layout and killed.
Moonsault. Yeah, he did a
moonsault. And killed about 10 guys.
Which you can actually find a video of that on the SNS, or excuse me, on the Heart Legacy Facebook page. Somebody posted some phone video of that. So, you know, again, I just went to the SNS Facebook page and somebody posted the Karachi Vice reuniting. So, you know, I guess we're going to see clips of this, but the DVD hopefully will be out very soon, because I can't wait to see this thing, quite frankly. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Sunday, it's the Rumble.
Yes.
Do I need to phone Spilumbo's and have it catered here in the worldwide headquarters?
As long as it's on your dime, I'm fine with that.
Well, wait a minute. I'm looking at the official liquor shelf of Sunday Night Showdown. It's currently empty.
It is currently empty, and that's because we went through all of it.
I remember.
With the weekend I've had, I think I might have went through it the last couple days.
So, all right, so we need to stock the liquor shelf.
Yep.
We need to bring catering. And do you have to work on Monday? Because the level
Probably.
Of stocking of the liquor shelf is directly reflective as to whether or not you have to work the next day.
Well, if I go, I'll be hungover, but that's okay. You see that big-ass TV right there?
I do.
I picked it up by myself today, and put it back in the fucking cubby.
Why? What happened to the new one?
I broke it.
What?
I broke it.
Why? What happened? The brand new fucking flat screen you broke?
I broke it.
How did you break it? You threw something at it?
I didn't throw something at it, but something flew across the screen.
What, by itself?
I hit the table and something flew across there and hit
it.
Was
it on purpose or by mistake?
I was mad, but it was a mistake.
And you busted the screen.
I wouldn't say I busted it, but
what would you say?
It hit, yeah. And the color was all distorted, and now there's no picture, so I had to.
So just a minute.
Oh, don't
so
even.
With your explanation and you're saying, well, I really didn't bust it. You did in fact bust it.
I admit it. I busted it.
Wow,
it was an accidental bust.
Wow,
I hit this table right here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just pounded on
it. The temper went crazy.
Something fucking flew off. It was like the phone or something just flew off and fucking busted the TV.
I always liked the old TV better.
Well, it's bigger.
It fits the hole better.
That's what she said.
Wow. I wasn't even going there. Bronx, did you hear that?
Oh.
Wow.
He heard it. He just didn't see it.
Now,
it didn't fit the hole. Is that kind of like the wiener in a hallway scenario?
It's like a 747 flying in the Grand Canyon.
Wow. Right. So, you got to look down to see whether it's in or not?
Yes.
It's breaking down here in WNL.
You got to take our word for it.
With all the connections Mark the Shark DiCarlo has, you can't arrange some catering for me here Sunday?
I can arrange catering for you, but you got to get your ass
book a flight,
here
bitch.
To Calgary.
Book a flight.
That's it. We got catering, and you're invited. There's a party here, and you're invited.
Finally. Well, shit, if I went to Calgary, it'd be warmer than it is here. Shit.
I heard how cold it is there.
I mean, I think I fucking threw up a testicle today. That's how cold
it is. Jesus, that's a little bit more information than we were needing.
Well,
however,
stop sucking cock, man. You wouldn't have.
Wow. Do we need to go to break?
Fuck.
Do we need to go to break?
I think we're gonna
fuck
have to.
JJ.
All right. Wow. You threw poor Bronx under the bus, and you didn't even honk first. Jesus, that wasn't very nice. However.
Chugga lugga lugga lugga.
You know, you gotta think if you're listening to this and you're listening to us, you're thinking to yourself, boy, the three of them are just having way too much fun for their good.
And I was in a bad mood. You caught me in a good mood now.
That's it. And nothing like a little shark antidote to brighten up your dreary day.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The voice is going. You hear that?
I do hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. The voice is going again. But
it's a bust, bro.
Huh?
You're old. Get some rest.
Fuck you. No,
he
I know.
Might be old, but he can see you, bitch.
Anyways. Oh, by the way, I have a message for you from Lindsay Lust, the new valet of Wavell Star.
Oh, yeah?
And she
I
said.
I thought her name was Pam.
Not Pam.
Well, he called her Pam.
It was not Pam. He forgot her name. That's why he called her Pam.
I liked it. I thought Wavell with Pam worked pretty well.
Wavell and Pam?
Wavell and Pam.
It sounds like a breakfast thing that you do with a can of oil spray. Spray Pam. I think he wanted to spray Pam later.
No. Huh? They told him that, you know, he could do whatever he wanted to with her.
Yes. And she was down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And you know what? I think that Bronx is losing it. I think there should be more fluff, JJ, on the next show. More fluff.
And I'm sure that if you're in charge, there will be.
There's never enough fluff on a wrestling show, right, Bronx?
No, I agree.
See? You know,
the hornier I get, the more I'm willing to pay.
Wow.
Well, so, all right. Well, we'll have to, somewhere in there, there's an antidote for
radio edit.
Yeah, radio edit. But no, Bronx, if things keep going well, you'll be my guest at Mania for the Hall of Fame induction on the Saturday night, Mania on Sunday. And I really want to go. If I'm going to come to Mania weekend in the Big Apple, like Raw, to cap it off, Raw at MSG is the shiznit. And you know what? I know what I got coming up. I think I'm going to make a couple of phone calls. Actually, I already have made a couple of phone calls. And, I'll talk to you off air, Bronx, but it's looking good. It's looking good.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I've already planned to take that the week after Mania, I'm taking off because I just want to be able. I get like 2 weeks vacation every year, and I split it up.
Yeah.
So April's around the time I take off, and, you know, I want us to all be able to hang. So, you know, whether I can go to an event or not, or whether we just, you know.
But so you're just going to hang? I really want to go to Mickey Mantle's sports bar. I really want to go to Woody Allen's jazz bar and just walk around and, you know, take it all in. But, you know, I think it should be a lot of fun, and we'll see. But I do have a question for the executive producer. So if Bronx and the Shark and JJ and Boom Boom are all in New York City, does that mean who exactly will host Sunday Night Showdown for WrestleMania?
I got a bad feeling it's going to be like Ashley and Sean and...
Why do you say bad feeling? Why did you throw them under the bus?
I'm not throwing them under the bus. They've just never done it before.
Well, it's not like they haven't done shows before.
But then again, Trey isn't going to be there.
Who?
Trey Dog?
Right.
Pretty sure he's not going to be there. So.
Well, you never know with Trey.
There's always
Trey. Well, like Bronx and I were doing Sunday Night Showdown for TNA, and it, you know, we were doing the post show with all the, I think, I can't remember, Bronx. I think we had on Kamikaze, we had on Dynamite Dan, the son-in-law of Dynamite Kid. We had a Hotshot Johnny Devine, and we ended up with Teddy Hart. Told Teddy he had 15 minutes. He went 45. Bronx couldn't get a word in edgewise. I don't know. I mean, who exactly would qualify to host WrestleMania on Sunday Night Showdown?
I might have to rehire Internet Dave for one night only.
Listen, bitch. After his performance on Friday night, like, don't say that name. Like, you know I was about to commit murder. I'm on the mic, standing in the ring, waiting for Internet Dave to hit somebody's music.
I don't think it was all his fault.
No, it wasn't. It was definitely all his fault. This one spot. And I was fuming, and JJ was sitting ringside trying to calm me down. And I
was afraid he was going to blow an O-ring and fucking have an heart attack right there in the middle of the arena. Like,
yeah.
Like, just calm down.
And it wasn't
smile and wave.
It wasn't entirely Dave's fault. And I'd like to go on record as saying that. But it was mostly his fault. Jesus.
Well, I mean, last night the Raw sound guys couldn't get shit right.
I saw that.
You know, everyone's coming out to talk about how they're going to win the Rumble, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to win the Rumble, and then the next guy comes out, his music hits. Well, I'm going to win the Rumble. I'm like, really?
Oh, I got to ask you guys something about Raw, and I of course, I PVR'd it.
Listen to the archive.
But what the hell, what in the blue hell did Vince McMahon say that was wrong, Bronx?
What happened was Vince McMahon, and this was live, and probably as of now, any copy you get of it, it'll be fixed. He basically tells CM Punk, if you interfere in your own match, you will be stripped of the title. So CM Punk has to find a way to beat The Rock without actually participating in the match.
Wow. A little bit of a botch by Vincent?
Yeah, I guess the depends were just, you know, one size too small. I mean, they're out of them sometimes, you know. So, I don't know.
But I'll tell you what, before we get to the news, why don't we just go ahead and take our last commercial break. I'll come back, I'll read the news, and we'll take phone calls and emails and wrap things up. Since the pipe bomb was averted tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
And you know what? I had full knowledge of the pending pipe bomb, and it was going to be full of gunpowder, and when it hit, the explosion would have been felt absolutely worldwide, and it wasn't going to be pretty at all.
No, it wasn't. You saved it. You, perfect timing, because you saved it.
Well, and you know what? As I got out of the meeting, I'm like, I wonder, have they dropped the pipe bomb yet? I better get over there. And, of course, I mean, I live exactly 10 minutes away from JJ, and I'm like, I'm driving, and I'm stopped at the red light, and if I turn right, I'm going home, and if I turn left, I'm going to JJ's, and I'm like, if he dropped the pipe bomb, I better get over there quick and fix it. But I'd be free bombing. I arrived in time, and that's a good thing, because the bomb would have been felt, would have shaken the very foundation, no pun intended. But you know what? I've had a long, long month, and I just wanted to come on, set the record straight about moving forward, and thanks to everybody here on the network. Thanks to JJ, and thanks to Bronx, and thanks to all the good fans of Wrestling News Live here on the SNS Radio Network, the award-winning Wrestling News Live. Did you tell them the good news?
No, but thanks for busting that.
I didn't say anything. I just said good news, and I guess you're going to announce
it
later.
I'm not. I want people to listen to the radio awards on Friday, where those awards will be announced.
Oh, and what's his name is hosting, right? Co-hosting the radio awards?
Yeah, that guy that used to be on this show, Trey.
Trey Dog. Right. That's his name.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, the one good thing about Shark living only 10 minutes from JJ is...
Yes.
JJ gets a free security system from the Canadian government.
Wow. What? Nobody's more over with Bronx than Bronx. I said, pardon?
What? That's okay.
All right.
I guess we got that. But I tell you what, we're gonna wish Mark the Shark DiCarlo adieu.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you. I'll be back Sunday.
Sunday.
For the Rumble. Sunday. Royal Rumble.
Somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
I hope so. I just hope it's not me.
It won't beat you.
No. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Well, with that said, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more Wrestling News Live right here.
Why did we have this microphone on Friday, the one with no switch? Anyways, go ahead.
We should have.
No kidding.
Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling News Live. We'll be right back with more right after this.
This is Cowboy James Storm, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and of course some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
I caught SmackDown again. I skipped Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksToHeadlines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fakie.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Let's go to our ring announcer.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman. And I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. And I'll see you at the matches. It's go time.
What's up, guys and gals? Sensational Sequel, Sensational Sean, right here with you. You can catch myself and Ashley, yes, that is his name, on The Open Book every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll catch us doing video games, The Open Book, Fantasy eFet, and movie and entertainment news. So check us out every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time at snsradionetwork.com. Come check us out.
TNA Impact Wrestling fan? Are you looking for a show that talks about TNA wrestling? Then tune in to TNA Chat Live every Thursday night starting at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on the SNS Radio Network with the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, as he reviews the latest episode of Impact Wrestling and takes your phone calls to get your thoughts on the state of TNA wrestling. Are you ready to cross that line?
On the SNS Radio Network. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
This is Christopher Daniels, and the gospel according to the Fallen Angels says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
All right, we're back right here, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am, as always, Mr. Money on the Mic. JJ, as Mark the Shark DiCarlo, gives me the old Scott Hall NWO, JJ, all caps, sexy. And, of course, I'm joined on the Skype line by the unofficial third leg of the tripod, ladies and gentlemen. Well, he is the second leg, but still, he's the Bronx Father, regardless. Tony J. Mirabella.
Yeah, we're holding it up. You know, it doesn't matter how many legs we have, you know. I'm getting heat from everyone. Shark, you, Sean.
Well, you're good at the heat. I mean, you bring the heat. You're like Vicky Guerrero. You bring the heat.
Yeah, but see, I love it. I love heat. Bring it. I don't give a fuck.
Now, you say that now, but you will. You say that now, but someday you'll regret it. But anyway, we do have some news of the week that we're going to run over here momentarily, sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. If you haven't been over to the site, please check it out and sign up for the newsletter, because guess what? You can join over 27,000 other subscribers. You suck, man. I'm trying to cut a promo, and you're like trying to shake my hand or pound it. What the fuck, man? You're killing me. This is radio. They can't see you.
Huh? All right,
talk to you later, Shark. Mark the Shark was very slow to leave. Sorry.
Oh, I'm like, what the fuck is JJ talking about?
You got to forgive him. He's getting old, you know. He's got to be like 60, so it kind of takes him a while to get out of the studio.
Wow.
He just said I heard that.
Well, I mean, you know, do you have a ramp in the back so we can save a little time?
Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. Like I said, if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, please join. Please do so and join over 27,000 other subscribers. And guess what? It comes to you 3 to 4 times a week in your email, your inbox. You don't even have to go to those websites. You don't have to look up the news because it comes to you. Sign up, Bronx, goddammit.
I'm signed up.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
All right, let's start things off with a very interesting news story. And I said interesting. Yes, I did. Ladies and gentlemen, a man has been arrested for selling fake WWE tickets. The Corpus Christi Caller Times is reporting that local police arrested a 33-year-old individual who was caught selling fake WWE tickets for a non-televised Raw in the area. The tip to the police came after a woman who purchased the fake tickets called the cops to report him after she was denied entry to the arena for having an invalid ticket. It was revealed the same person sold multiple copies of the same ticket to multiple people, and officers arrested the man as he was about to sell tickets once again. The seller was arrested on suspicion of fraud, which is a misdemeanor. He was still in the county jail as of Wednesday of last week. So, you're selling fake WWE tickets. Do you really think you're going to get away with that?
Well, I mean, tickets nowadays are like fucking Skynet. I mean, they're watermarked. They have their own barcode. And once the ticket is scanned, you know, it's put in the system. Do you really think that's going to work? I mean, for how long? Really? Wow.
I find that highly, well, what's the word I'm looking for? I find it highly illogical. You know? I mean, seriously, you think this is a good idea with all the security measures nowadays? I just, you know, the guy deserved to get caught. What a dumbass. He gets the Dumbass of the Week award.
Yeah, and the guys who tried to use them. I mean, it's like, well, I mean, my ticket's, printed on a paper napkin, but I guess it's legit. You know, I might as well try it. I'm going to drive 30 miles and try to get in. I mean, come on.
Oh, moving on to some more news stories. Did you know that Dwayne Johnson has milk?
Yes.
Dwayne Johnson's got milk, Brox.
Okay.
Apparently there's a Super Bowl commercial that will be upcoming where Dwayne The Rock Johnson basically filmed this commercial. The Rock will be the star of the first ever Got Milk 30-second Super Bowl TV ad. And Johnson posted a photo of his Twitter of him running with a can of milk from a commercial. The ad is directed by Peter Berg, who coincidentally directed The Rock in his movie The Rundown, which is one of my favorite movies, quite frankly. The commercial was created by Douche. Okay, I don't know how to say that correctly. It's not Douche. It's like Deutsch. It's Deutsch. There we go, Deutsch. It's not Douche. It was created by Deutsch, A-Lo, and Mark Tape. I can't do this. A-Lo and Partners Company. This will be on the blooper reel. And will air in the second quarter of the game. Dwayne Johnson is a terrific role model and a devoted father who believes in the importance of milk at breakfast for the whole family, said Vivian Godfrey, CEO of the Milk Processor Education Program, which represents America's milk processors and runs the National Milk Mustache Got Milk campaign. He's been vocal about his love of milk and
Oh, my God. I mean, what happened to the days? You know, look, why do we need a commercial to tell us to drink milk? I mean, when I was like 3, my parents were telling me to drink milk. When you're a baby, it comes free. We know milk is good for you. We don't need an advertisement. I mean, really?
Wow. Okay, let's try this again. He's been vocal about his love of milk. And it being a good source of protein in the morning. So we felt he was a natural fit, quote, end quote, by Vivian Godfrey.
Wow. So we went from pie to milk.
Yeah, why can't he do a commercial about pie?
Well, I mean, you know, the whole milk mustache thing, why do they always have guys doing it?
Because it would be extremely wrong for a woman to have a milk mustache because it wouldn't be a milk mustache.
But more realistic.
Wow.
I mean, look, forget it. Drink milk, okay? We all know milk is good for you. Just fucking drink it. Forget the commercial. Forget this ever happened.
Yeah, let's move on with the news. TNA Impact last week, Bronx. The wedding angle. Bully Ray, Brooke Hogan. Brooke Hogan suffers a wardrobe malfunction during Impact. What happens when you have a brawl and you're wearing a dress and your top half already almost falling out of the dress? Two words, wardrobe malfunction. That's what happened to Brooke Hogan during the final part of the wedding on Impact
this past Thursday night as the daughter of the Hulkster had her first such incident on a wrestling show. After Aces and Eights stormed the ring and attacked everyone, Brooke was taken out and held by some members of the gang. At one point, her dress malfunctioned and her boobs fell out. The two members of the Aces and Eights holding each of her hands eventually managed to cover up her surgically enhanced breasts with her left arm. Eventually, she was let go and ran to her daddy while still covering up, or trying at least, as her dress didn't want to stay in the proper place. While the footage made it live, TNA edited her out of the YouTube upload, and most videos were taken offline. But don't worry, Wrestling Online has photos of the whole incident, which you can see at wrestling-online.com. See, I told you, they're awesome over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you want to talk about, you know, a milk commercial that I want to see. Now, we talk about TNA with advertising. There's a 30-second Super Bowl commercial for you.
Brooke's going to squeeze the tit and say, look, I got milk. Is that how that's going to go?
Yeah, but the problem is, can you digitally edit silicone to look like milk? That's the problem.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
This could go a complete different way. I'm not going to comment on that. Anyway, so Brooke suffers a wardrobe malfunction, and apparently Taz joins the Aces and Eights in an angle that left people saying, what the fuck, and scratching their heads like monkeys at the zoo. Once again, TNA delivers.
Yeah, I'm not even going to, you know, get into it. I'm hoping this Thursday night they'll fix it up. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I tell it like it is, and that impact was kind of like, wow. I mean, it's just, you know, Brooke and Hulk and all that thing. And, I mean, shit, you can't afford a dress that fits. I mean, come on.
Now, let me see. Speaking of other woes from TNA Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, apparently your TNA champion, Jeff Hardy, will not be traveling to the United Kingdom for the Road to Lockdown tour and will miss 4 weeks' worth of Impact as the company will be taping the television shows in Manchester and London. In an official statement, TNA said that Hardy will be making appearances on the other side of the pond due to an injury that he sustained at the hands of Aces and Eights. In reality, Jeff Hardy cannot travel to the UK due to legal issues he has in the United States, mainly that he's a drug felon.
He on parole.
TNA also announced that Sting will be replacing Hardy on the tour, and he will be appearing at all live events, including the 4 television tapings that will be held. Hulk Hogan will also be a part of the TV tapings. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but would it have not been a good idea, I don't know, for 4 weeks to put the title on, say, Christopher Daniels? You know, because, I mean, if there's one guy on that roster that screams of needing a world title run after everything he's done since day one, even if it's just a small mini run for a month, Christopher Daniels, and then he could drop it back to Jeff Hardy after the UK tour, I don't know, just kind of stupid, in my opinion, to have a champion who can't leave the country because he's a drug felon, and you're promoting the fact you have no champion for the next 4 weeks. Brilliant. Brilliant!
No, I agree. And not just because I'm a Daniels mark. I mean, I've said it before. He's probably one of my faves in the wrestling business today, just for his character, his wrestling prowess. I'm a big Daniels fan. I think they could have ran with it. You could have put the belt on him, and you know if he went over to Europe and cut some of those promos, he would have been hated, spat on, yelled at. It could have been brilliant. I'm not going to call you out for this. I agree 100% with what you're saying. It's stupid. You know, and I mean, look, I'll give Jeff Hardy his props for doing the right thing for the last year or so, but this is his fault. And if he can't go overseas with the belt, then you should tell him it's your fault and let him fucking drop the title for a while. I agree.
This is just the perfect music to just talk about this story. Just perfect. I couldn't have found a better source right there.
Oh, wow.
Look, here's the thing. And I know that I get the mark of being a TNA hater. And that's fine. I have no problem saying that I hate TNA. I do. And do you know why I hate TNA? Because every time they do something positive, they do something so fucking negative that it takes them two steps back. It's like, oh, we're going to do this, and then you do this, and it's like, oh, well, now we're farther back than we were a week ago. it's just, it's mind-boggling, folks. You know, take into account, I'm looking at the gut check today, and I notice that former NWA World Tag Team Champion, one half of the Naturals, Chase fucking Stevens, is in the gut check. Like, to be voted on. To be on the program. Chase fucking Stevens, folks. The Naturals. Why is a guy who's been there, who's won championship gold in that company, why is he in the gut check? That would be like Petey Williams. You know, former X Division champion, former member of Team Canada, sick Canadian destroyer finisher. That would be like him going through the gut check to get a job back in TNA. The gut check was supposed to be something that involved young talent getting a break in the business, not guys who've been there. Take in point Christian York. Someone who was at ECW Anarchy Rules 2001, the last official ECW pay-per-view. The tag team partner, formerly with Joey Mercury, York and Matthews. But yet, somehow, he's a rookie now. I don't know. I don't understand the gut check. But if you do want to vote for somebody on the gut check, there is a very talented Canadian wrestler by the name of Cameron Toms, who recently wrestled on the Heart Legacy iPay-per-view that never really aired yet. But he was a part of Resurrection as Kamikaze. And I would love for you guys to vote him in because I think he would fit nice, and he's a young talent that needs a break.
Yeah, and I spoke to Homeboy, and he was really cool. I had the pleasure of talking to him with Shark. And yeah, I agree. What I think they're trying to do is pull the Vince McMahon booking scenario where they're trying to think that everyone has Alzheimer's and doesn't realize who these guys are. I mean, gut check is a gimmick. I mean, let's put it out there. It's a gimmick. They're not really going grabbing brand new guys from the indie scene and doing it. They're just, you know, they're making it seem like these guys are rookies. It's a gimmick. That's all there is to it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, but again, you don't need to bring veterans in there, you know. Even Maverick, who's a TNA mark, agrees with me. Why would you bring Chase Stevens in through there? I mean, here's a guy who fucking did like a shooting star press off the fucking top of the cage a couple years ago. You know, anytime you see moments from TNA's past, he's all over the place. But hey, let's bring him back to the gut check. Sounds like a good idea because, you know, fans these days don't know who he is. Okay, man.
Well, I mean, you know, the last thing we'll have is Richard Floor in the gut check. You know, no one will know it's Ric Flair. He'll just come out with a different hairdo, and he's in the gut check.
Hey, why don't we have superstar Billy Graham compete in the gut check? I think he's the star of the future.
Yeah, on Twitter.
I don't know, man. Look, I don't want to shit all over TNA, but I just some stupid shit, man. I don't know. I just don't get it. One step forward, two steps back. It's ridiculous.
We come together because opposites attract.
Now, this is not a TNA-related story.
Uh-oh.
But it kind of has a link to them because, well, it's a link to Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, TMZ.com is now reporting that Linda Bollea, the ex-wife of Hulk Hogan, has been officially charged with a DUI stemming from an incident that led her to her arrest in October of last year in Malibu, California. An attorney for Linda claimed at the time that his client only had a glass of champagne at an event on an empty stomach, but antibiotics that she took prior to attending the event shot up the alcohol effect and registered a 0.084 in blood alcohol level when she was stopped by the police, which is over the legal limit in the state. The Los Angeles County District Attorney has charged Linda with two misdemeanor counts of DUI and also one count of driving on a suspended license. The case will be heard in front of a judge later this month, and if convicted, she could face up to 18 months in jail, although it's very highly unlikely she will spend a second behind bars.
You know, I don't get where antibiotics up your alcohol level. I mean, I was on antibiotics a few weeks ago. They kill germs. What the fuck does that have to do with alcohol?
Your guess, my friend, is as good as mine.
Wow. Yeah, you know, yeah, she's going to see 18 months in jail. Yeah, okay, and I'm going to pull a fucking, you know, gold brick out of my ass later. Really? Come on.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's Linda Hogan. I mean, come on. You know, really? I mean, I don't know. I would love, I mean, in a perverse way, love to see her do an 18-month stint in jail, but it ain't going to happen.
You know what? I agree with you, but it is what it is. I mean, this is the same Linda Hogan that lied about Hulk and said all these really disparaging things and then later revealed that she lied about it all. And you know, I don't know. Linda Hogan has lost a lot of credibility.
Yeah, but that might have been your fault. Because don't forget that, you know, two guys on this wrestling radio show, you know, they kept pushing and I just decided to say that, you know, Brutus was taking it in the ass from Hogan. But it was because it was a wrestling radio show and I should have thought first and I'm hurt over the divorce and blah, 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 blah. Oh, I remember that incident very well.
But anyway, so we'll see if Linda gets any jail time. All right, let's cut the Benny Hill music. We're done talking about TNA and Hogan and all that other crap, so... Back
it was
to
so
the news.
Appropriate, though.
It was, that's why I played it. It was appropriate. It worked. Good stuff. 23 spots officially filled for the Royal Rumble, if you don't know. Here are, and this is in no particular order, ladies and gentlemen, Antonio Cesaro, Brodus Clay, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Daniel Bryan, Darren Young, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Heath Slater, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Jinder Mahal, John Cena, Kane, Kofi Kingston, Michael McGillicuddy, Randy Orton, Ryback, Sheamus, The Great Khali, yes, he's made it to the Rumble, The Miz, Titus O'Neil, and Wade Barrett. Dolph Ziggler will either enter as number one or two after Vicky Guerrero screwed him after the beat the clock challenge. See, I almost said beat the cock challenge, but I didn't.
Enough with that. Well, I mean, you know, sounds so far so good, and those other entrants, you know, that aren't announced, they're probably going to be, you know, either surprises or gimmicks.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, as long as I don't see, like, the fucking gobbledygooker or fucking Sergeant Slaughter, and don't get me wrong, I love Sarge, but I hate when they put in guys who you, well, they have to. You know, they put in guys who you know there's no chance in fucking hell they're going to win.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. I mean, you know, rumors are Shelton Benjamin MVP. There's so many rumors out there. So, you know, we'll see what happens. This is a good story. Bob Backlund officially joining the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2013. I loved Bob Backlund's character when he came back in the 90s.
Me too.
Had the feud with Bret Hart, went apeshit crazy, lost the belt to Diesel 3 days after Survivor Series after he won the belt from Bret Hart. And really helped Diesel get his run established in like an 8 second loss. And then he was just crazy. He ran for president for a little while, you know, on WWE programming. And, you know, big fan of the crossface chicken wing. Still my favorite submission. And, you know, kudos to Bob Backlund for being inducted. I'll be there, Bob, when you're inducted. I'm looking forward to that. So far we have Mick Foley, Bob Backlund, being inducted. I'm so looking forward to that.
Well, you know, we were talking last night on who could induct Backlund, and no one can ever forget that famous match where his manager threw in the towel so he could give the title to the Iron Sheik, which of course launched Hulkamania.
Yep.
Now, if the Iron Sheik were to induct Bob Backlund, what do you think he might say?
Backlund is bullshit! Skull and throw in the towel. I put you in a camel clutch and humbled you. Fuck you in the ass. Took your title. It's bullshit. I humble you.
That's PG.
Yes.
I say go for it.
No. Arnold Skolin, though, very beloved member of the WWE for a long time. And, of course, the former manager of Bob Backlund, the golden boy, Arnold right. Skolin. Yeah, that did set the way for Hulkamania. You're right.
You know what really got me in that match? Oh, God, who was commentating when they said if this wasn't put to a stop, Hogan might well kill the Sheik? You remember that? I remember commentary in that match where someone actually said, and I have to look this video up, that I remember it distinctly, if this doesn't end, Hogan might well kill the Sheik. And I remember seeing that match and Hogan winning the belt, and that was just the beginning. So the fact that Bob Backlund vicariously through the Sheik passed the torch, he deserves it.
No, I agree with that. Other things to end this segment, we've got artwork and match listing for the new Bret Hart DVD, which Harmony is very much looking forward to. On March 5th, the WWE release a new Bret Hart DVD and Blu-ray titled The Dungeon Collection, with the DVD having three discs and the Blu-ray coming in with two discs. This release will feature a ton of matches that were never before seen on DVD, and the first match featured goes back to 1978 from Stampede Wrestling against the Dynamite Kid. Other matches included are versus Buzz Sawyer, the Islanders with the Hart Foundation, Andre the Giant, Mr. Perfect, Bam Bam Bigelow, The Undertaker, Owen Hart, and others. The Blu-ray version will carry a much more exclusive content than the DVD version, but you can see the full list of matches and chapters along with the cool artwork over at wrestling-online.com. See, I'm the Mick Foley mark. She's the Bret Hart mark. I'll be getting the Foley one. She'll be getting the Bret Hart one.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go with you on that. I mean, if you want to talk about a guy who just... And don't get me wrong, I'm not shitting on Bret Hart at all. I mean, I have nothing but respect for him, and I am a fan. But Foley's my guy, and I think it's just because of him being an author. You know, definitely, you know, I hear what you're saying.
Speaking of Bret Hart, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to say, speaking of Bret Hart, apparently he is going to be at WrestleMania Access. Let me pull this up. I've got it on the wrong one here.
Well, I mean, wasn't Bret Hart supposed to appear recently and he was kind of butthurt? Wasn't he supposed to be at Raw, the 20th anniversary edition?
He was, but they couldn't really figure out a good thing. And then they decided that since The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels weren't going to be a part of the show, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and Austin weren't going to be a part of the show, that they didn't want to have anybody there.
Yeah, I mean, that to me was the dumbest fucking thing I ever read. Ever.
It is what it is, man. I mean, I don't know. I guess moving on, pre-sale for WrestleMania Access kicked off, but there was a mistake, obviously, since this came out, and I guess they're working to fix it. But I don't know that I'm going to go to WrestleMania Access this year. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'm paying enough for everything else, so
right.
I'm just going to enjoy the Hall of Fame, you know? And everything else. So we'll see what happens. But I think that's going to do it for our news of the week. I guess I lost the story that I was going to read there, but that's fine.
Well, see, me, I'd almost rather go to Access than the Hall of Fame, you know, just for the chance to meet the guys and, you know, maybe get an autograph. And, you know, I'm going to see. I finally got my fucking W-2s after waiting a month. And maybe if I can afford it, I may go to Access, just to Access, you know, because I'd like to get some autographs. I'd like to, you know, interact with some of the guys. I always think Access is the biggest thing about WrestleMania.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's got some cool features to it. So we'll see. I mean, right now my budget is pretty tapped with everything I've spent. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But Access is something I'd love to go to.
Yeah, but see, I'm not as well known as you. You might show up at Access and they'll be like, Satan, you know, making the cross with their fingers and shit. So you might not get any autographs anyway.
No, see, the difference is I'm not famous, I'm infamous. There's a difference. Famous right. is a good thing, infamous is not a good thing. So I think when the WWE sees me coming, they'll know that I'm infamous and it probably won't be good. But then again, they steal a lot of my ideas. So, you know, at least I'm giving them something.
True, true.
But that is going to do it for our news of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed that. And again, if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, please do so. And join over 27,000 other subscribers over at wrestling-online.com. We're going to open up the phone lines, take a few calls, maybe read a few emails before we get out of here, as we're running a little long tonight, thanks to the studio interruption, if you will, of Mark the Shark DiCarlo.
Yeah, and in all these years, this is the first time Wrestling News Live has ever ran long. So it's historic.
I know. It is historic. It never happened before.
So for those of you listening, if you want to chime in and get your thoughts heard, we'll take a few phone calls. The number to call if you're in the United States, if you want to call toll-free, it's 1-888-890-9618. If you're outside of the United States and you still want to call in, it will cost you. But the number to call, 501-588-7957. Long-distance charges will apply. And if you're on Skype, you can add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype, and that's another way to reach us here on the program.
Yeah.
I feel better. I was in a pretty bad mood, and you know, I regret that I'm not able to at length speak to you guys and tell you what I was going to say. But there is a reason behind it. And things were worked out, obviously, at the 11th hour, and the stay of execution didn't happen. So I want to thank Mark the Shark DiCarlo for making that happen.
Yeah, you're CM Punk, man. At the last minute, an agreement was reached.
Yes, it was. But I believe, let's go to the phone lines. We have a caller. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Peace and love life, gentlemen. It's Walkie. How's it going?
It's going good. Babylon 5 sucks.
That's your opinion.
It is my opinion. Tell Admiral Q to kiss my ass.
Well, it's his opinion too, which was surprising to me that he responded to you and about that, which kind of makes me want to call anyway. You've never, with the exception of what Phil said it a little bit, you never really did a lot of responding to a lot of the talk that Phil and I have done on the EFP when it comes to that subject.
Well, because like I told you guys initially, I did it to get a rise out of Phil, and it got a rise out of you instead.
True.
And that was really 90% of the reason I did it. You know, but again, people's opinions change. People's opinions are different. I like the Star Wars. You guys like the Star Trek. Now, if Q wants to sit there and debate me on what's more marketable, I think Star Wars is going to kick its ass. But, you know, whatever.
Q was running up the whole aspect of the argument as it is. You know, I've said before on many times on AFP that there's a lot of aspects of Star Wars and Star Trek that, to me, make it equal to both.
Right.
That's why, to me, I think the argument has been ridiculous before in the past. I mean, no disrespect, JJ. You may say that Star Wars is better, but in the end, you're a fan of the you're the fan of the franchise, and it's not. It's not surprising right there. I mean, what Phil and I did was we more looked at it from an open aspect and saying that there's aspects that both franchises are equal as it is. From the marketable standpoint, yeah. Last 20 years, Star Wars have established itself on the TV show. I believe we said that on the podcast. But really the question is, what would happen if Star Wars were on the air during the time that Next Generation and DS9 was on? I'll be honest with you, I think it would be a pretty equal out war, and we would be having a different conversation today. But overall, the aspect, I think that the argument is pretty much not that fair. I mean, you could bring up another argument. What about, say, putting Doctor Who in the aspect? I think Doctor Who is pretty much as equal with both Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yeah, it is. Maybe. I don't watch it, so I can't comment on it.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, I found it pretty funny that you took into that aspect when the email, which got the rise out of me, which surprised you, which I laughed the hell out of. But I just think overall it's just a stupid argument, in my opinion. Whether or not both franchises have good, they're both good in their own way.
Well, I mean, you know, Star Wars made it big on the big screen. Star Trek, not so much. Star Trek made it on being a TV series. And then the movies came out, which all the TNG movies I loved. The later ones, not so much. But that's a big difference. Star Wars started out in the theaters. Star Trek started off on TV and then moved into the theaters because of their success. So there's a lot of, like I said, it's a war that will never be won.
And there's a period, if you really think about it, the period between Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, And when the prequel started, when you had basically nothing from Star Wars, except for like memorabilia and all that. And it was during that time, Star Trek in 1987 to at least 2005, at least, you know, had some great, great, great television, which ended, unfortunately, with the demise of Enterprise in 2005. And I think, to me, overall, both are good in their own aspect. And in the end, that's to me, that's why I've said it for years whenever people come to tell you, well, what do you think is good better, Star Trek or Star Wars? You know, I said both are.
Guys, I'll be right back, okay? I've got to step away for a second, okay?
Okay, no problem. Well, I'm the Wrestling News Live with Walkie and Bronx. Okay, what's up, Bronx?
Well, Shifty says Nemesis killed Star Trek. Really? I actually love Nemesis. I thought the interaction between Picard and his younger self, I can't remember the name of the actor, I'm sorry, but I thought that was brilliant, with Picard just trying his hardest to say, look, we're the same. I fucking turned out okay. You can too. You don't have to go this route. And the youngster just totally shitting on Picard and saying, I watched Nemesis about 2 weeks ago again. And especially at the end, you know, and I know this is Wrestling News Live, but I've got fucking Walkie on, so I'm going to talk on it. You know, just Data's sacrifice. I was in tears. I'm sorry. It touched me. It was so brilliant. And then at the end, before singing the song that Data had sang, to know that Data's going to live on, how can you say Nemesis killed it? Really?
Well, another thing, Shifty, you should take into consideration is the time that Nemesis got released. If memory serves, it got released in December of 2002, and it was up against some pretty tough competition at the time. I believe a James Bond movie was released at that time. I think it was the last one for Pierce Brosnan, and I think Lord of the Rings was released. So you had some pretty tough competition. So one could say that one of the downfalls for Nemesis was, of course, the timing of it, which didn't fare well against competition since James Bond and Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I like Nemesis. I thought it was a good movie. Yeah, it was different from some of the other ones, but I thought, yeah, it was good for what it is. I'll be honest with you, it would have been more better had it got another movie. To really wrap up properly with the TNG cast.
Well, my favorite part of that movie was when Deanna had been basically, and you know,
oh my God, we're still talking about fucking Star Trek.
Welcome back, JJ.
What do you want me to talk about? We're talking about Nemesis, man.
Why? It sucked.
What?
It sucked because
it was a good movie.
No, you fucking killed off Data. It wasn't a good fucking movie.
You didn't kill off Data.
Data lives on
through B4.
Yeah. I'm going to sound geeky here, Bronx. His Positronic Net was transferred over to B4. So B4 basically continued.
And fucking Geordi said it. Data, eventually, he's just going to be you.
Yeah.
Come on, JJ.
Okay. I'm glad that you guys like Nemesis. Moving on. Anything wrestling-related you want to talk about, Woggy?
Unfortunately, no. Because I wanted to bring that up since she mentioned your response to Mr. Paul Rasmussen, a.k.a. Emerald Q. So I thought I'd come on and, not call you out, but with a friendly wanted to get your response to everything Phil and I said.
No. So. And that's cool, man. I appreciate it. And things were fine till about 5 minutes ago, but I'm going to have to wrap the show here in a second because I got all kinds of crazy shit going on with fucking kids that are driving my wife crazy. So I'm running a fucking marathon of a fucking show every week, I got to fucking quit.
Before I leave, I guess I should make this announcement because Mac Daddy said no predictions for the Rumble Walkie. Obviously, Trey Dogg mentioned on SNS the week before that he's going to host the WRAs. I have an announcement to make, too. I can make public, so hopefully this is okay, that the Elite Force podcast is going to have a presence at this year's Wrestling Radio Awards as Phil and I give our picks for the 2013 Royal Rumble pay-per-view. So you can check that out.
Very cool. You know, people were asking me all week, are we going to do the Rumble contest? No, we're not. We're not doing it this time because Trey's not a part of the fucking show right now, and that's usually his thing. And to be quite honest, I just didn't have time to get things together to do it. And really, it wasn't important enough last time that the person who won it basically forfeited it. So we'll skip it this year, and maybe next year we'll bring it back.
No worries. It's always next year, so it's not a big deal.
But you know, I'm in a shitty mood. I want to apologize to you guys. I came on here to have some fun tonight, you know, but apparently I can't do that. I've got to fucking wrap things up. So.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and leave and let you guys wrap up the show. So you guys have a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the call, Walkie.
No problem.
Take care, man.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't have a song of the night, and I don't really fucking care. I'm going to end this broadcast. I will see you guys hopefully in a much better mood this weekend for the Royal Rumble. Make sure you check out all the programming here on the SNS Radio Network. There's so much of it. There's live shows. You know what they are. TNA Chat Live with the Bronx Father. The Open Book with Sean and Ashley. You know all the podcasts. Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman. The Elite Force Podcast. Walkie Mind Wipe. And Chuck W. right now is on a hiatus. Get well soon, Chuck. We miss you. Hope you're doing well. You know, whole indie show. You know what's here. You know to listen. Sorry, guys. Hate to end it like this, but it's been a night. On behalf of the Bronx Father, I'm Mr. Pissed Off, JJ Sexay. I'll talk to you next week for another edition of Wrestling News Live. Adios.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
Live is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and/or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.